Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's SYLVAN29.com.
It's the Mixed Martial Arts Hour with
Mixed Martial Arts Hour is back in your life. On this Wednesday, March 29th, 2023. Hello again, everyone. I sure hope you're doing well. It is great to be here on a Wednesday on the road to WrestleMania. Do you remember that song, Frank? The old WrestleMania theme?
I actually do.
Were you an old school wrestling fan?
Not a fan, but more
an admirer.
Yeah, I mean, to be casual, real honest, I liked the WrestleMania arcade game that came
out. It was tremendous. Are you kidding me?
That was amazing.
They looked real in it, right?
It was the same like technology they did for like NBA Jam. Or
oh yeah, it was great. Loved it. I would play that all the time. It was great. Like you bounce someone off the canvas, they fly up. Oh, it was tremendous. Anyway, a bit of a different show today, my friends. We're going guestless today, but on Wednesdays, we do like to shoot from the hip, and we enjoy that very much. And you know what I was thinking? Lately, I've been having to squeeze in on the nose and not give it the proper TLC that it deserves. So I didn't want, you know, I didn't feel like being up against the clock, as they say. And so I wanted to breathe, sit back, relax, answer your great questions that, of course, have been put together by Moderator Lewis, and just have a grand old time. Of course, we'll make our picks for this weekend as well. A lot going on. No UFC, rare weekend off for them, but typically they don't do an event this weekend. Final Four going on, WrestleMania, like I said, but there is Bellator on Friday. There is the PFL debut on Saturday, the season debut, you know, the non-European events. And we also have the return of one Anthony Joshua, that is always a big deal on Saturday afternoon. Of course, Game Bread Boxing 4. So there's still a crap load going on. And then, of course, we turn our attention to the big UFC pay-per-view on April 8th in Miami. The 305. Jorge told us on Monday he's going to walk out to Welcome to Miami. I'm not sure I believe him, if I'm being 100% honest. But still, I look forward to it. Not sure why I'm holding a pen and a pencil right now. It's just a big deal. And that's the way we like to do it. As always, we are presented by our good friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. They are the official sports betting partner of not only this program, but also the UFC as well. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use the code DMAR. That lets them know we sent you. And also, if you're a first-time user, you get a nice little gift. Shout out to them. We appreciate them very much. And for all those things that I just talked about, a lot going on, go check out our good friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Also want to give a shout out to HelloFresh. I'll tell you more about them later in the program as well. But let's get this party started, shall we? Let's get this started in a. Let's get this done in here. How's the song go? Let's get this party started.
Let's get it started in here.
Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, the moment has arrived.
Yeah, the moment has arrived.
Himself, Ariel Helwani.
That is me. Thank you, Mike Heck.
From the Box Studios in beautiful New
York City. Time to shoot from the hip. Everyone's favorite segment of the week is time. The weather is just fantastic.
Get out of your seats and on your feet because here he is.
Is there anything better? Is there anything better than March, April? I know GC loves this time. I mean, you've got the Masters coming up. You've got the Final Four. You've got baseball about to kick off. Or kick off wouldn't be the best word.
WrestleMania.
I mean, how hyped are you? Scale of 1 to 10.
Let's go ahead and put it at a 6.
6? But it's Wednesday.
It is.
So we still got some time.
Yeah.
You had a 6, not bad. Don't forget, it's 2 nights, so it's Saturday, Sunday. Don't want you to burn yourself out. Saturday.
I was going to say that. I feel like that kind of...
You don't
that,
like the two-night thing?
Is that a good
thing
in the wrestling world?
If I'm being
Everyone
honest...
loves the two-night thing?
Don't love the 2 nights. I like...
It's
you,
a lot.
You see the set once. It's a one-day affair, but...
Oh, it's Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, what'd you think it was?
Friday and Saturday.
Nah, it's
Saturday. I didn't have plans for Saturday at this point. I mean, we're making this a combat sports weekend. Start Friday with Bellator, then... PFL Saturday, Game Bread Boxing
Don't forget
Saturday.
About Anthony Joshua beforehand.
Anthony Joshua Saturday.
You're now a proud subscriber of DAZN. Thanks for
yes.
your friends.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, salute.
Yeah.
Huge thanks to our friends over at DAZN.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot to like. Yeah, it's Saturday, Sunday. Look, the purist in me likes one day. You see the set once, you don't come back. But, I mean, they get 70,000 people both. Like, you're doubling it up. You know what I mean? You're doubling it up. So it's hard to turn that down. In any event, let's see if anyone asks us about all of this. Number one is Cheeto pancakes, guys. And I do have to address something that that moderator Lewis has brought to my attention. There seems to be a thing going on the old Substack where people, and in this case, Cheeto did do it when we put out the solicitation for the questions, where they are just writing a letter. So they're first up, but then they come back hours later, edit the question, and then they put in their question because they want the distinction of being first.
What?
How do we feel about this? Is that cheating, or
yes,
do you respect the hustle?
The no. Cheating.
Because I said to him, I was like, listen, kind of respect it. Lie, cheat, steal. Shout out the late, great Eddie Guerrero. But I can see how someone who takes the time to like type something out and then they end up being fifth might be annoyed. So should we dock him? Like, should we not go first with him? What should we do?
I don't know, man. They like
keep it.
I think
I like the effort, but I mean it feels empty.
Now that you know, and they know that you know, if they continue to do it, then it's on them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't think you need to like be punitive. I think they should figure it out.
I mean, there's someone out there that had a question ready,
right,
and took the time to type it up and was second to the singular letter that would later be edited.
They're within the rules. You gotta edit yours.
Yeah. I
don't know. Is that a rule?
But now, like, the first 20 questions are going to be just like a letter, and then people are going to go in and fill them out afterwards. I don't know if I love that. You know what? I'm not going to read his first. I'm going to read it.
Wow.
But I'm not going to read it first. I mean, I can't. Now that we know, I feel like here I am talking about precedents being set in other facets of MMA. How can I ignore this bad precedent being set?
Now, how are we going to keep track?
Moderator Lewis does. There's timestamps.
So he'll have to know.
He sees it. He called it out.
He sees the edit.
He sees the edit, yeah. He also sees the one-letter post. I mean, he's on that thing like a hawk. So let's go to Nick the Dane first off.
Damn.
Cowboy in the Hall of Fame? Deserved, yes. But as far as the modern wing goes, is there anyone more deserving? That Dane Nick. What's the difference between Aldo, Cerrone, and Anderson? I feel like they're all in the modern wing. Is Anderson before the like? Are they even going by that anymore? I feel like that's not even a thing anymore. And by the way, nice to see you on a Wednesday, New York, Rick. You know it's a big deal because we had a little more time. You felt like it was worth your time to come in.
I mean, what would it be without me here?
No, it's nice, it's special. I kind of blew right by that. Yeah, I don't mind. Like we said on Monday, company guy always delivered, stepped up. Who cares? This whole modern way, like. I'm going to piss off my friend Ant Evans here because he came up with it. But I don't feel like you have to, it doesn't have to be like check off. If it fits, it fits. But just keep adding, like you have these buckets now. Just keep adding to the buckets. All right, we've got another addition to the modern wing. We've got another addition to the pioneer wing. We've got another addition to the contributor wing. It doesn't have to be every time. It's like in the Baseball Hall of Fame, which I think is kind of like the gold standard in many respects, because like the restrictions are so strict, even though maybe they're a little too strict. Anyway, you know, you add someone here, you add someone there, but it's not like we have to do X, Y, Z. Like, I'm okay if they don't want to add a fight. These four are enough. So yes, I think he deserves it, and I'm fine with it, and I'm not really keeping track of modern wing this, modern wing that. Who cares, honestly? Good for him. He deserves it. Mazel tov. Zach Marcus, hey, Ariel, first and foremost, I have to say Corey Sandhagen may be the most resilient fighter in the UFC at present. What he's done bouncing back from the Aljo sub, the split loss to TJ, and the Pierre Jan loss has been supremely impressive. Couldn't agree more. He's made it known he belongs at the top. With that said, I was a bit surprised by the call out of Merab. With Merab in a holding pattern currently, and not to mention being a tougher fight, I thought Corey should have called out Sugar to see who gets the next title shot, or should have called out Aljo directly in the arena, assuming he wins. That would have been even dumber. He's got a fight. Why would he call him out? Two ventures lost. Either way, I think the UFC gives him Merab, but now it's not even a question. What are your thoughts? Helwani 10-7 Zach. I loved everything about it. He picked the tougher guy, the lesser known guy, but the guy who he respects the most and the one that he thinks gets him closer to title shot. He's not delusional. He thinks that Sugar is going to be next. He knows that Aljo is fighting Henry Cejudo on May 6th. Why the F not? Go for it. I loved it. I loved everything about it. I thought it was brilliant. No problems with it. And in fact, it made me respect him even more. And I didn't even think that was possible. He went for the tougher guy. Isn't this what we want? We want the division to move along. We want sensible and sensical call outs. We don't want guy, like, if he called out Aljo, everyone would roll their eyes. Like, why are you calling out Aljo? He might lose the belt. Eventually they're gonna run that one back. I feel like they are. But no, this was, I mean, how many people are calling out Merab? Very few. Cheeto Pancakes. What is up, Ariel? I know you and the boys discussed it last week, but at the post-fight presser, Dana White was asked again about Colby Covington being next for the title. He again reiterated that he is in fact next without a doubt. I'm just wondering why he's so adamant about Colby getting the shot. He even suggested that he's not too big a fan of Colby's either. As I said last week, are they ultimately trying to set up a Conor versus Colby title fight? I don't think so. I'm just still confused about the whole thing. I don't know. Sometimes Dana gets on these things and he becomes adamant about it. And as I said on Monday, like he was actually inaccurate. Well, first he said, you know, I don't make fights on Saturday, although last week he did. And Oscar Willis did remind him, oh, last week you did. Yes, I did. But that one made all the sense in the world. Really? What about Bilal? What about this guy? What about the Burns-Masvidal fight, et cetera, et cetera? But then he said, Leon didn't take a fight for 2 years. Not true. It was actually 18 months. And between, like, he had a stretch of 8 fights that he had agreed to. Only 2 of them came to fruition. Like, between, what was it? Like, in that stretch, he had, let me get this right. He had the Bilal fight and he had the Nathan Diaz fight. No, I want to go into Tapology because they do a good job of laying all the canceled fights out. Okay, so he fights RDA, coincidentally, in San Antonio in July of 2019. His next fight was supposed to be in March of 2020. So that's just a few months later. You know, that's a normal schedule. Tyron Woodley. Well, it's supposed to be March 21st, 2020. Everything gets canceled, pandemic, right? He's then scheduled, after a lot of craziness, to fight Khamzat Chimaev. That gets canceled, tested positive for COVID. Then he's scheduled, that's December of 2020. So we're talking 6 months later, after the whole training camp, he's got to come down, the world stopped, he couldn't travel. Like, are we forgetting about all this? Agrees to fight Khamzat again, January of 2021. Remember, in Abu Dhabi, Khamzat gets sick. Then is scheduled to fight him again, March of 2021. Khamzat pulls out due to lingering effects of the COVID. Remember, he had a very serious thing. He retired briefly. Instead of fighting on that date against Khamzat, stays on that date, fights Bilal, ends in a no contest, was looking great, the eye poke, whatever. Fights 2 months later against Nathan Diaz. Sorry, 3 months later. He was supposed to fight 2 months later. That got postponed. Fights 3 months later, fine, against Nathan Diaz in June of 2021 and wins that bout. Then, 6 months after that, normal time frame, scheduled to fight Masvidal, Masvidal pulls out. Then he fights Kamaru Usman and beats him. What are we talking about? Look at all that activity. Colby hasn't had one fight that he agreed to. And I hate that people are saying like, oh, I can't wait to hear you cry when Colby wins. Like, I have no problem. Can I tell you guys something about Colby Covington? Block your ears if you want to believe everything. If you're a kayfabe guy, Colby Covington, my interactions with him, he's actually like a sweetheart of a guy. Like, he's like my, every time I've talked to him behind the scenes, very nice, very respectful, very thoughtful, says nice things, is supportive. He's not the guy that you think he is. And I'm not trying to say this to like burst his bubble or to ruin whatever gimmick he's trying to build, but I just want to let you, like, I have no beef against him. The fact that he doesn't want to come, I could not care less. You don't have to. I'm just trying to look at everything here and being like, okay, well, how are we coming to this conclusion? And if we had a reason, if it was just like, look, we promised him, like, all right, fine. But the reason that we're being given is like, of course, you guys are idiots for even questioning this. Like, what? What are you talking about? And then the thing that kind of drives me nuts is there's a huge fight in the welterweight division involving two guys who have been tied to Leon for all this time, and you're just going to dismiss that and make it into another fight with no stakes attached? Like, all of it to me is head-scratching. It has nothing to do with Cole. Like, I have no problem. Is it because of his politics? I couldn't give a shit. I couldn't care about any of that stuff. I don't listen. I don't know if Trump is arrested or not arrested right now. I don't pay attention to any of that stuff. I don't care about it. I don't want to care about it. I want nothing to do with it. All right? Can you let me know when DeSantis comes into... I'm just kidding. I'm joking, Frank. Chill out. I know you're a big DeSantis guy. I couldn't care less about any of this stuff. Could not care less. And it's could not care less. It's not could care less. That's a big pet peeve of mine. Frank says it all the time. Could care less. I could care less. I'm like, it's couldn't care less.
Oh, it's a pet peeve for you.
Yeah.
I could care less.
So anyway, I don't know. I don't know what the reason is, but none of it makes sense to me. Logan, good day, Ariel. A few days ago, Dustin Poirier tweeted that he feels like a big fight is coming. Do you have any insight into what that fight might be for him? He wants the Gaethje fight, and I can't imagine why Gaethje wouldn't want that because he lost that fight and it's the biggest fight out there. So I feel like that's the one he's trying to will into existence. Additionally, Dana shared at the post-fight press conference that he had hoped that he would have some news this week in terms of Alex Volkanovski will Volk unify the featherweight belt during International Fight Week. That's the last thing I heard, but not 100% just yet, that one of the fights in July would be Volk versus Yair. But don't go ahead and quote me here that it's this, that, and the other, because it was very preliminary last I heard. And I didn't check back in. You know, there's a lot of times that news gets announced. I was like, oh, wow, I knew that. And I forgot to check, you know, I'm just like, can I be honest? Like, I'm just not on that grind. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I was in that rat race, not on that grind right now. It's not as fulfilling as it once was. Hey, is it true that your client or you're fighting so-and-so? Oh, bro, I can't tell you, man. UFC told me they, you know, they'd cancel the fight if you broke it. Really? Why would they cancel the fight? I don't know. They just said it, you know, because they're like, don't tell Ariel. I'm like, oh, that's weird. Well, you know, obviously I would never say that it's you. It's like, yeah, I know, bro, but like, I really need this fight. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, for sure. No problem. It's like, who wants to have that conversation? And you know how many times I've had that conversation? I don't need that. Honestly, I get more joy out of having them on the show. So who needs it? So I could tweet and then everyone else can just run with it. Like, who cares? Wild Bill the Thrill, Primetime Helwani. Me and Conor McGregor have something in common. All right. We both are in awe and intrigued by your set. Wow. Thank you. Chael isn't. I've always been curious about how you decide what goes up, what comes down, what items are pictured and immortalized, how many things are sent to you and don't make the cut. I would love some insight on all of this. Would you ever consider putting your content creator hat back on and showing us a more detailed video of the set? P.S. Thank you. Also, can you ask Frank... Okay, let's put a pin in that
Who
one.
Who says P.S.? Thank you.
No, I read the thank you. That'd be it. I mean, a lot of this stuff, by the way, has been with us since, you know, 2000. I mean, some of this stuff has been with us since the AOL days, like the round five figurines And the crazy thing is, it's like it's gone from one AOL set to another, to the first SB Nation, well, to that one show that we did in the control room, which was a disaster, and John Jones was in studio, as crazy as that sounds. Then the makeshift set at SB Nation, then the second one, then the third one, then the fourth one, then this one, to ESPN, to one set at ESPN, to a second set at ESPN, to back here. I mean, some of these things have traveled, and they've seen some shit. And I just keep adding and adding, and it's just, you know, there's a story, like there's a haggis right there that was sent to us from Robert Whiteford, the Flying Judoka. There's a Cub Swanson doll there. There's a cup with my face on it. There's a Sugar Sean O'Malley glove set over there. There's a Combate Americas glove. There's a Nawad Lahat there. There's even a Gina Carano toy, my old friend Gina. Sean O'Malley, some pictures. I mean, it's just like, it's a smorgasbord. You got the Action Bronson record over there. El Crocodilo Turbo, something like that. So I don't know. I like, at home, I always argue with my wife about my office being like too much tchotchkes. I like the tchotchkes. I kind of like a cluttered room. I guess I'm not a minimalist. I like stuff. And I want you to think that you're coming to my home and we're hanging out with my stuff, even though this isn't my home. Frank. And also we know about some of the immortalized photos, you know, Vierna Janjiroba, Jesse Jess. By the way, Jesse Jess fighting again. I wonder if she's going to come out to HBK. I haven't checked in. You got the Dustin Poirier big shot over there. Shout out. DC, of course. You know what's interesting, guys? Do you guys ever notice this? I've got so much. I mean, I've got DC. Like, is that maybe the best slot of the whole damn thing? Like, right there?
Just right over your shoulder like that?
Do you notice that DC has this show that they promote 4,000 times on the broadcast? Not a sign of Helwani. How should I feel about that? I mean, if we can just be honest with you.
I don't think you should feel anything.
You know, not a sign, not a nod, not a nothing.
If you look in his eyes.
You see it?
You can tell.
I don't see anything.
Yeah, I think even if he tried, it would get taken down.
Why? Isn't that fucked up? I brought him there. I mean, I made that whole thing. I mean, it's crazy. Where's the beef? I'm going to see him in LA, WrestleMania.
Wow.
Might have a little word or two.
I think you should ask him if he has you in his home. That's the key. Like, on the set, you know, that's
I called him last week, FaceTime, and I was like, yo, happy birthday, this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm.
Early AM, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Nice, nice, nice.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just said, like, look how many things there are of you here, and where are the things of me?
And what did he say?
I mean, I didn't know that you actually had this whole guilt trip conversation before we started 1,000%, talking about this. Yeah. So maybe
so you called someone
now.
On his birthday and asked.
Yeah,
why
and
he
by the way,
have
while I have you, I mean, where's my presence on your damn show? P.S. Can you ask Frank if you would consider doing his own podcast? I can't get enough. This man says,
yes.
"Wow,
yes. Wow!"
Yes.
Through the Frank lens, I would love a post show. Frank, yeah. This is a great idea. You're editing the pod. But it's just for like hardcore, you know, audio nerds. But also, you say, you know, at one time where Ariel was like scratching his chin, that was annoying. I got to fix this now.
Like, why narrate the editing?
Yeah, yeah. Why does he keep hitting the microphone? And let me tell you something about what Joe had for lunch today. I mean, could you chill out on the onions? Like, I would love just a whole conversation with you.
I feel
the
like
audience.
We get 40% of this on the show already.
Well, I was about to say, I feel like, you know, if we get 40% on the show, we get the last 60% back here in the control room.
Wow.
Anytime you hit the desk, you know you're getting a, sure, yeah, let's just hit the microphone.
Is this what's happening? Wow, you're talking shit?
If he just wasn't hitting the microphone, I wouldn't have anything to say.
There's nothing that Frank loves more than a nice...
It's like right here.
You've already hit it twice. And then what's up with the coffee mug today? You're playing with it?
I was very, am I playing with it? I'm allowed to drink it?
You keep like tapping it. Like, come on. It's a Wednesday. I don't need it.
Yeah, there we go.
Is there anything more annoying than that? I saw this video of this guy on Instagram where he was like, this is what a mom looks like at her kids play. And she's like, she's like chewing the gum, like, and, and then she's taking a picture. You know, you guys see that video?
I didn't.
I think there's a lot of parent videos on my Instagram. I think they know what's up. No? No one liked it?
Speaking of gum, though, before Conor McGregor,
Did you tell him to throw out his gum?
To him. No, you were chewing gum, and I have never heard someone
chew so loud,
gum so loudly. So,
your kid?
Yeah, it was.
Wait a second.
I almost didn't want him to come anymore.
Wait a second. On the air?
No, before.
That's kind of fucked up because, like, I'm really particular about gum chewing. Like, I've never been told this before.
I actually have a recording of it as
Go ahead. Go ahead. Play it.
No, I can't play it right now.
It's really that. Wait a second.
I thought about maybe giving it to one of the fans and letting them put it as a sample in their next track about us.
Frank, are you?
But alas, we haven't done it yet.
Wait a second. You never strike me as this kind of guy, but now I'm starting to wonder, are you one of those guys who, like, it's happened to Bill O'Reilly, it happened to Chris Berman, where you're, like, recording shit off the record, but, like, you're compiling.
Do you hear me yell?
So
like,
one day, if I screw up, you're just going to, it's gonna appear on some, like, YouTube channel with one subscriber.
Look,
and
I wish,
like,
you hadn't said any of this.
Wow. Was I really chewing loud?
Oh, so much.
Connor, do you remember this?
I don't know. I remember the gum because we were all frantically chewing it because we had the
so
fried
loud.
Foods beforehand.
Oh, that's probably.
Nervous.
I was trying to get rid of the onion.
Our breath was going to smell.
Yeah.
I don't remember the loud chewing.
I
didn't have an ear to it.
I promise I will play it for you. I'm going to play it for you.
You really did record
least
it, Frank?
Expect it. Just that's in the middle.
Wait, you recorded it for
Yeah, because it was on our.
Is that not a breach of trust?
It was on the. When someone says audio speeds, that's to let everyone know.
I'm hoping you were talking through it too. Like everything was just normal. Oh, you know what? I probably missed it because I was downstairs.
Right, you were working.
Oh, I gotta hear.
Eric, do you remember the gum?
No, he wasn't here.
That's right. That's right.
Frank is the only man, and he got it on tape.
That's kind of messed up. You know what? I don't know how I feel about that.
Man, I can make it go away.
By the way.
Wow.
For a price. Yeah.
Just put X amount of Ethereum in my wallet by tonight at midnight.
Prime case.
Yeah.
Drop off his house.
We're already low on the prime. A weekend. Somehow a weekend to getting a lifetime supply of prime, we've got 5 left.
Well, I mean, just based on Frank's, you know, blackmail and side hustles, maybe it didn't end up in that fridge. Maybe it went somewhere else.
Let people in the Vox studio at night where we become a prime vending machine.
Yeah. It's just like a big party. It's like Chris Farley in Billy Madison when he's eating all the kids' lunch.
Right.
You know?
With Norm MacDonald.
Amazing. Shalom, Ariel. But so you didn't answer the question. Are you going to do a pod or not?
We're going to start with a blog, and then
is the blog coming?
Yeah,
courtesy of our friends at Squarespace.
URL's been registered.
What is it called?
I'm not ready to reveal that.
You're being serious?
Yeah, I had some subdomain issues, so I'll make a big announcement once it's.
I can't wait.
Like, what's the theme? What are we talking
it's
about?
It's my life in working in media in New York. With,
my
with
God.
With all you great people. Oh,
this is great.
Wow, TST, better look out. I feel like we're going to get
two. He stands no chance.
I can see the rights being optioned right now. This is the next Sex in the City right
now. Oh, this is great.
I'm thinking I'm going to name it P.S. Thank You. Because I still can't believe you did that.
Wait, say that again? I didn't hear you.
P.S. Thank You.
You know yourself, Frank. You know yourself. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm imitating when I say that?
No.
Come on.
I'm sorry, I don't.
Eric, you know?
I don't.
Connor always says it. Not this Connor, McGregor. You know yourself. Come on. You don't know that?
Oh, okay.
He says it all the time.
It's not like a very iconic line.
You'll see now. You'll notice now.
Mine's the good man.
Good man, yeah,
right,
for sure.
34 years of age.
Yes, years of age is a big one.
Now I can't stop noticing it. Debo, Shalom Ariel, with the Fury Usyk fight being canceled. Womp womp. Do you think this opens up a new possibility for Francis Ngannou to fight Fury, or will he still get Wilder? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't believe it's canceled. Don't believe it's canceled for a second. I think they end up fighting. I refuse to believe that they're going to squander this.
I don't think they're going to end up fighting. Are you kidding me?
I refuse to believe this.
I've been hearing if Joe Joyce wins, Fury versus Joyce. Yeah, I don't think the Usyk fight is happening. Unfortunately for us,
I refuse to believe.
But I definitely don't think it's Francis. I'll say that.
I don't think so either. But honestly, I think it would be such a bad look if they don't figure this out.
Yeah, I don't think they will. I don't think Tyson Fury cares enough, which is weird to me and baffling, but. I don't think Tyson Fury cares enough to get it done. So, yeah, I'm predicting doom and gloom, and I'd rather be wrong.
Yeah. Thanks and love the new basketball podcast. I appreciate it. Thank you. Having a blast. Doing all kinds of fun things these days. This is what we envisioned when Independent Helwani was born. Ben B. Gamer. Hey, Ariel, do you think that it's essential now for judges to speak to the media after a big pay-per-view or controversial decision? It's shocking how one judge gave the win to Cheeto and another had 50-45 for Corey Sandhagen. Would this clarify anything and allow for judges to be more impartial? Thanks, Ben. I mean, I don't know if it will clarify anything and make judges more impartial, but if I'm being honest, like it's amazing how they just get off scot-free. Like even in the NFL and the NBA, and I've talked about this before, like there's a pool reporter and they put out a statement and there's a Twitter account where they review the last 2 minutes in the NBA. Here, where they have, like in those sports, the judges and referees don't even determine the winners. In this sport, they do. If it goes the distance and you don't hear from them and you don't know what they look like or sound like and you get no explanation, you get no statement, you get no pool reporter. It's baffling. It's backwards. It's insane if you ask me. So yeah, give us every event. Let one journalist go and talk to them. What were you thinking? Why did you do that? Put those quotes out, disseminate them to the world. Do something. Nothing. We get nothing. It's unbelievable. It's shocking. It really is. That they just can get off with potentially ruining people's careers, altering their careers. So yeah, sure. I mean, let the commissioner speak. Let's, you know, sometimes it's happened in California, sometimes it's happened in Nevada, but it's very few and far between. Texas is one of the worst. And the fact that they don't have to answer to any of this and we just sit here, you know, pulling our hair out is baffling. So yeah, there needs to be more accountability. Commission speak. UFC speak, Mark Ratner speak, someone speak. Don't just be dismissive of it. I would love if the judge spoke, but give us a statement. Don't even talk to the media. Just explain. Oh, here's what I was thinking, or here's what I saw. Something. Nothing. Learn from the other sports. They've got pool reporters. They've got judges and officials who speak, who explain. Why can't that happen in this one? Frankie, hey, Ariel and the crew, with all the new talent that the PFL has added recently, who are you guys most excited to see this upcoming season? I, for one, am most excited to see what Hurricane Shane Burgos can do in the lightweight division. Yeah, I mean, Burgos is great. Big spot for Thiago Santos. Some of the youngsters in PFL Europe are great. We spoke about them on Monday. But I think the biggest signing was Shane Burgos, so excited for him for sure. And then curious to see, you know, how Lochnane does, how OAM does. Rob Wilkinson, like if they can keep that going as well. Manji. Ayubowan. Reminder that Ayubowan, this is from Lewis, means long health and prosperity, much love. The old Ayubowan Ariel, the oldest fighter to win the welterweight title is Tyron Woodley at 34 years of age. Looking at the current top welterweight contenders, Usman turns 36 this year. Colby is 35. Khamzat is not in the division. Bilal turns 35. Burns turns 37. Masvidal turns 39. If any of these fighters manage to win the title, they essentially will be making history. Do you see it happening, or are they just too old for the younger crop of welterweights? There's a transitional period coming, 1,000%. And a lot of those younger guys are coming up, you know, the Shavkats of the world. How old is Shavkat, by the way? Leon is 31, so he's younger. Shavkat, yeah.
He's 28.
28.
Yeah.
So he's much younger than these cats. Wonder Boy, obviously older as well. How old did he say Colby is? 35. Brady younger. Jack Della younger. Yeah, there's not a ton of young guys at 170 in the top 15, but Leon is 31. Definitely a transitional period coming. No doubt about that. Abay, happy WrestleMania week. Thank you, my friend. I'm so excited and just wanted to get your thoughts ahead of the big event. Will you be there? Yes. What's your predictions? Does Cody dethrone Reigns? Does The Rock feature in his home state? Surprise comebacks? And what other matches are you looking forward to most? I'm personally predicting Rollins and Logan Paul steal the show and would love to see Orton return. Also, on a separate note, have you followed the latest in the CM Punk versus Everyone drama? If I'm so crazy for wondering if creating heat with a Jericho could be a work setting up a return, do you think there's any chance he returns to AEW? Much love, your boy Abay. WrestleMania 39, Saturday and Sunday. It's a nice little card so far. I dig it. Austin Theory and John Cena kicking off night one is kicked off by John Cena. Could you believe that, guys? For the U.S. Championship, John Cena versus Austin Theory, also on night one. Seth freaking Rollins against Logan Paul. I agree, that could be great. The build has been fun. What about the returning legends Trish Stratus and Lita and Becky Lynch against Damage Control? That's fun. Night two is obviously going to be headlined by Roman Reigns versus Paul Heyman. Excuse me, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Paul Heyman in Roman's corner. Oh, we got it right there. Look at that. Also, we don't know what days these fights are happening or matches, but they have been announced. Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley. Bianca Belair versus Asuka. Brock Lesnar versus Omos. Gunther versus Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre for the IC title. Edge versus Finn Balor. Hell in a Cell. Tremendous. Liv Morgan, Raquel. Liv Morgan and Raquel versus Natalya and Shotzi versus Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler versus a TBA team. Braun Strowman and Ricochet versus the Street Profits versus Alpha Academy versus the Viking Raiders. That should be wild. The Usos versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Rey Mysterio versus Dominic Mysterio. If it was up to me, Owens and Sami headline night one. And I can't wait for that. I think it's one of the biggest tag matches of the last 20 years. WrestleMania 1 was headlined by a tag match. It was Piper and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff versus Hogan and Mr. T. But tag matches have often, you know, over the years especially, kind of flown under the radar. This is a gigantic one because it's tied to the main event picture as well. And you got the story with Owens and Zayn, the Usos and the Bloodline and Roman Reigns and all this stuff. Tremendous. That's what I would do. Do I think any big surprises like The Rock? I don't know. I'm not getting my hopes up. I thought The Rock was going to come back. Doesn't look like it's happening. Thought he was going to go up against Roman Reigns. Doesn't look like that. Obviously not happening. The CM Punk stuff I've checked out on. It's just too much drama for me. I don't know. Don't really have a lot of interest, honestly. Is he coming? Is he going? I don't know. What's going on over there? Why is there so much drama over there? Why is there so much drama in wrestling? Jeez. Remember a month and a half or so ago when I showed up on Elimination Chamber and they all lost their freaking minds over there? Like, how dumb was that in retrospect? You crazy mofos. I was like showing up in my hometown. And everyone's like, he's compromised. I can never watch his interviews again. Oh, the horror. Freakazoids. Much love, your boy, Bay. I'm very excited. GC's excited. You got some picks for us, right?
I got some things I want to go over with you.
Should we do it now or after?
Oh, you can keep going. We can do
all
it
right,
after.
Fine. We'll go over it after. But I'm very excited. I haven't been to LA in a really long time. I was there for the Isaac Cruz, Gervonta Davis weigh-in for like 36 hours. I did the weigh-in show for Showtime. Love LA. And in fact, I will tell you, I'm actually going to be there for a minute, as the kids like to say, which technically, in this case, is a week, because I'm actually sticking around to, I don't know if it's like moderate or host, the premiere of the, let me see, I don't want to screw this up. The premiere of the Showtime doc series, Catching Lightning, about Lee Murray. They're having a premiere on Tuesday, and so I extended my trip one day to host or moderate that premiere, something like that. I mean, so it's big things up there, you know, or down there, or over there to the west. I'm excited. Might hit up, you know, I love Santa Monica, love Manhattan Beach. Manhattan Beach is always weird for me because that's where I stayed, UFC 199, but I did love it. Have some friends that live there. So, yeah, I'm excited. Never been to SoFi. Looking forward to that. Haven't been to crypto in a minute. I don't even remember the last time I went to crypto. It's possible. I think I went to a Laker game a while ago. UFC 104. No, I was there for the Mayweather-McGregor first stop on the world tour. But, I mean, WrestleMania is so much fun, and we're doing some sit-downs, doing the stuff for BT, so it's the best. Like, last year was a blast in Arlington, Dallas. I look forward to those trips very much. And, yeah, I think the card is good. I think, I mean, obviously no Rock, but, like, here's what we want for WrestleMania. We don't, like, I went to WrestleMania 18 and all the matches felt cobbled together. These, a lot of the good ones, they've had long builds. Sammy and Kevin against the Usos, long build. The Cody story has been told well, long-ish build. Reigns as champion, long build. Dominic and Ray, long build. Finn and Edge, long build. So, like, you know, I like that. I don't like when it's just cobbled together. When there's, like, substance, that's good. Chris, Ariel, this run of the Bloodline and Roman Reigns has been terrific. Do you think Paul Heyman gets enough credit for steering the ship and presenting the best story wrestling has seen in years? I think he does, and he should. It's been incredible. But this is what I want. From a storyline perspective, I want the Usos to lose, and I want Roman Reigns to lose. And I think the idea of the Bloodline in shambles would be a lot of fun for the next few months. Now you got, you know, Kevin and Sammy reigning supreme, making those belts feel important. The Usos have had a legendary run. You've got Cody as champ finally fulfilling that destiny. Of course, I beat him at darts, no big deal. But, you know, the destiny of being the WWE champ, what a story that is after all these years. I saw this belt that he has that he's going to wear and has every indie promotion and every promotion, including AEW, I do believe, inscribed, like, on the inside of the belt. That's pretty amazing. I love that little touch. So, yeah, it's been tremendous. The year build has been tremendous. Everything has been tremendous. And I can't wait. I love this stuff. And I think to keep it fresh, now them backs against the wall with no gold, going from all the gold to no gold, I think will be really interesting. Hugo, what do you make of the Rey Mysterio Hall of Fame induction, your favorite Rey moment, and how the father versus son storyline is being played out? I love it. Here's what I'm really curious about. It's rare that someone gets inducted the weekend that they're competing. Does Dominic run in, beat him up, cause a ruckus? It feels like that might happen. I think we're getting Conan to induct him, which I think is tremendous. What a legend Rey Mysterio is. I would love to see. I think it would be cool if for this one. But like we've been on this roller coaster ride with the Mysterios for so long. Dominic was a part of the feud back in the day with Eddie Guerrero, little kid, and now to see his mom there, Rey's wife, his sister involved on Friday, it's been done really well. It's been done really well. He's reluctant, and he finally snaps. Andy Kaufman being inducted is going to be tremendous. I can't wait for that. Stacey Keibler, they just announced, is going to be inducted. Kind of came out of left field on that one, but that's cool. She was awesome. Favorite Rey Mysterio moment? Man, the Eddie Guerrero match back in the day when he wore at Halloween Havoc, where he wore the skeleton costume. That was amazing. Obviously, when he won the belt. His run in the early 2000s was pretty great because they didn't usually give a smaller guy, and everyone thought the smaller Rey Mysterio wouldn't ever get the championship in WWE because they liked the bigger guys, and he had a tremendous run. Who's that jumping out the sky? R-E-Y Mysterio. Here we go. And let me tell you something about Rey Mysterio. It doesn't, it's impossible to find a bigger mensch than that guy. Like, you think it's not even real. Mensch of all mensches. Salt of the earth. Just an unbelievable guy. Huge fan of his. So nice. 619, tremendous. Mask, tremendous. The whole thing's tremendous. And does he retire? After, you know, the match on, Saturday, Sunday, I don't know when it is, but does he retire? Is that the way he goes out? Would be pretty damn amazing. What if he retires, they hug it out, they have this moment, Dominic wins, goes over, have this moment, he gives him the mask. Oh, I'm getting chills right now, Frank, just talking about this. He gives Dominic the mask, puts it on Dominic, he walks out maskless, and Dominic now has the mask forever. Is that possible? Is that possible, Frank?
Yeah.
New York, Rick, you're into the storyline, right? I mean, you get up for these.
I'm aware of the storyline.
You're a periphery fan. You don't watch, but you're aware.
I'm aware. I stay up on some certain podcasts that we...
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great? Rey goes up against his legit son, loses, gives him the mask.
And then the legacy continues that way. Yeah, I dig that.
Although Dominic's been great with the Judgment Day. He really has come into his own.
But also, it feels like... Has Rey even lost a step? Maybe he can do this for another 10,
he's getting older.
Years,
I mean,
you know
the
what
body,
I mean,
he's taking some bumps, this guy.
He's the man. He's almost immortal.
I don't know if you guys know this, but he gifted me a freaking Money in the Bank luchador mask. I mean,
I knew about that. That's pretty cool.
One of the all-time great honors of my life.
True mensch.
Hello, hello. Hello, hello. If you could book the perfect UFC 300 pay-per-view right now with three plausible title fights and two more main card fights, who do you book? 300 should fall in March or April of next year. Going to be weird that it's not International Fight Week, right? 100 was, 200 was, but it looks like the timing, because 290 is this July, so unless they space things out. And maybe they go with the halves. They did that for Fox back in the day. They did a 17 and a half or a 37 and a half. It was weird. Anyway, for me, in a perfect world, Conor has beaten Chandler later this year and is set to fight for the 170 strap versus Leon. And Cejudo has beaten Aljo and O'Malley between now and then and is facing Volk for the 45 strap. Can you imagine Conor and Cejudo both going for a third title at 300? Shout out to Patricio Pitbull. Question is, would Conor let it fly since Cejudo's fight would obviously come first? Cole adds, you got to have Jim Miller, and that is true because he fought at 100 and 200, and he's so close to 300. He's got to be on there. What a feat that would be, right? I mean, never again could we see something like that, I don't think. I don't know. If I'm being honest, it feels like it's too far away. I mean, yeah, you want the big dogs on there, but who's the champ at 55? Who's the champ at 70? Who's the champ at heavyweight? Is John Jones fighting? Do you go back to that? Well, like, I feel like, honestly, I don't mean to, like, you know, pass the buck on this one, but it feels almost impossible to predict. I mean, we're talking a year from now. It's not too far away, but someone in the glamour divisions, some of the big names, they'll do it up big. I wonder if they're going to make the... The mat yellow? Do you remember that? Like when they made the mat for UFC 200? I wonder if they're going to do that or something special like that.
I dug that. I think I hope they add some.
It
like,
made it feel different.
Yeah.
I know some people didn't like it, but like now every time you see that footage, you're like, oh yeah, that was 200, right?
I like that.
Look different. Max, hello Ariel. Short one this week. What's next for Bobby Knuckles? Greetings from Germany. Shout out. Guten Tag. I don't know. Costa, Hamza, one of these names. Got to be a big name, right? I guess maybe they run back the Costa fight would be possible. They were supposed to fight. It got canceled in Australia. But yeah, I'd love to see him back. Jamal 2020. This question caught me while I was at brunch, and it got me thinking, what's the best brunch drink? Bloody Mary, mimosa, tequila sunrise. First of all, love that song. Remember that song, Frank? Tequila sunrise, bloodshot eyes. My, how time flies. Remember that?
Yeah, but I try to forget it.
It was a good song. Cypress Hill?
Just wasn't my favorite.
Sheesh. If I'm being honest, don't get to brunch. I mean, I feel like the childrenless members of the team might get to brunch more than I do. GC, big brunch guy?
Yeah, it's a mimosa.
It's mimosa? Yeah, not easily. Bloody Mary?
Bloody Mary is good, but like, how many are you going to be able to drink?
What's in a tequila sunrise?
Tequila and orange juice. And a little bit of grenadine.
I'm not the biggest tequila guy. So
look, it's a Bloody Mary all the way.
Having it at like 10 in the morning, Bloody Mary's like a meal.
Have three or four.
Put the shrimp, the bacon.
No, you don't have to go crazy.
Get a giant biscuit put on it. It's tomato juice. I like a good Bloody Mary, but give me one. Mimosas, you can just bring the mimosa tower over and we can just go.
Yeah,
champagne gives me a headache.
Mimosa tower? What is that?
It's literally like a tower of mimosa, and the whole table just like go to the nozzle like it's Gatorade.
And what is it? What is that? It's orange juice and what?
Champagne.
Champagne. So it's a little bubbly.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's great. It's great, man.
Are you a big brunch guy?
Love, especially in New York City, man. I mean, it's a big scene here. The brunch scene.
Before
here is
we
fantastic.
Had kids, we'd go all the time.
Oh, I'm sure.
Nothing I like better than a. A Lox Benedict.
Ooh, I was just going to say, give me a Benedict, a couple mimosas. I mean, now we're talking.
I really feel like brunch these days is just like a Sunday morning club.
What do you mean?
I mean, honestly, there's some brunches that can get out of hand. I'm like, this is too much for 11:30 a.m.
Have you ever had like pastrami in a Benedict or pastrami with scrambled eggs?
I have, yeah.
Tremendous.
Someone sounds hungry.
I'm so hungry right now. You a big brunch guy in New York, Rick?
I was before I had kids.
Yeah.
Love a brunch. I mean, we used to live in Williamsburg, so many good brunch spots.
Now you're talking.
What about...
not these days.
What is it? Mogador.
Cafe Mogador.
A little halloumi cheese.
Can't be bothered to be open.
No.
No, that's breakfast, Frank.
A brunch, little halloumi cheese. I mean, you know yourself, Frank. It is something.
Yeah. No.
When are we doing a crew brunch? Now I'm hyped up for it.
Frank, what's your go-to brunch meal? I said Benedict.
I do like Benedict, but cheese.
What?
I like to have cheese at brunch.
It's just
like
freaking cheese? That's
cheese
it?
Cheese plate.
Come on, stop,
what
Frank.
What are you talking about?
Cocktail.
What's your real,
Frank,
what's your
I
real
don't
brunch
believe
order?
That. You, I see you go
I
to
said free... Benedict, but then I was like, but different than that, I like to have cheese. You don't appreciate like a good charcuterie?
No, not for fucking brunch. What are you there has to be eggs involved in brunch.
No, there doesn't. That's why it's called brunch.
I don't agree with that, but I
the best
think
brunch.
That is underwhelming. Like a cheese plate. Now,
I
if we're mixing in like
I
olives
like
and other things that like spice it up a little bit.
What's your go-to?
Say cheese.
It would be some form of eggs. Maybe like even like, you know what I like? Grits. I like grits.
Those are nice.
Love grits.
A little too heavy for breakfast, but a nice little brunch dish for me.
Omelet?
Some hot sauce on it. Some shrimp.
Love omelets.
Some shrimp in there. But it's probably some kind of like poached eggs or, yeah, an Eggs Benedict. Something in that vein for
now,
sure.
Now, for breakfast, chicken fried steak with some over-easy eggs.
Okay. Hash browns. Yes.
Yeah. Wait. You sure have a difference between breakfast and brunch?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Well, again, if I'm going different. To some hoity-toity place at 11 a.m. drinking champagne, I'm going to eat some cheese. Okay, but if I'm going
Frank's
for
keeping it light.
I still can't tell if you're being serious about the cheese thing, dude.
I think he's keeping it light, right? Like he wants to just drink a lot. And that's okay. Just 10
this
Bloody
is the
Marys.
Weirdest thing. By
know,
the way,
back to
no
back.
One serves charcuterie at a
I don't
brunch
know what
place.
Brunch places you go to.
That's like at a party. It's just like
you've been
table.
To like a country club on a Sunday, and it's like a full buffet of charcuterie.
Frank's hanging
shrimp.
At the country clubs we see. Okay.
Look, I grew up
how many
in
people? How many people get lunch at brunch?
It's an option.
I think a lot of people.
I never get the lunch options. It's always breakfast.
That's interesting. Like, I don't even see. To me, it's just a little bit delayed. Brunch is breakfast.
That's what I'm saying.
And like, I wouldn't know his statement of like chicken fried this in the morning.
I said that was for brunch.
Brunch, chicken fried steak with eggs, or just steak and eggs.
I've never had chicken fried steak. And can I tell you one of my big pet peeves? Why is it called chicken fried steak? Why can't it just be called fried steak? Why is there chicken? There's no chicken
because
involved.
Because you're frying it like you do eat chicken.
That's so
Frank,
dumb.
I'll leave this one to you.
That's so dumb. It should just be called fried steak.
Disagree
I know what it
on
is.
That, and I'm chicken firmly in camp. Breakfast and brunch are completely different.
Wow.
Firmly.
For me, the only difference is...
Before. What?
To me, if you say brunch, then that means there's intentions to drink.
Booze, yeah.
Yeah.
First
really?
Of all, you're not drinking mimosas for breakfast.
Honestly, if I was like, let's go get breakfast, and then my friend just started pouring up, I'd be like, I wasn't expecting
what?
That.
What? Like, I've never had this conversation in my life.
It's because you don't brunch, bro.
Yeah.
Wait.
Bro,
so,
do you even brunch?
So, wait a second. If it's... A meal at 11 o'clock with no alcohol, it's breakfast. If there's alcohol, it's brunch.
That's a late breakfast.
Yeah,
no?
Sounds about right.
That's crazy, dog.
That's a little
if you're
too late
biting
for
the snake that bit you from the night before, it's brunch.
McDonald's doesn't even serve breakfast that at that time. That's too late
10:30?
Yeah, come on.
I think it depends on the
can
day.
Can you have
depends
like a hamburger at brunch?
Nah.
Why not? It's lunch.
Now you separate
no,
that.
No, there's restaurants
not,
that serve that.
I'm not going to do that.
Now you take
I'm not going to do it personally.
Fry. There's better ways to serve the beef if you're going to do that.
Yeah, I think the heaviest I'm going to go at brunch is like a steak and eggs or like a shrimp and grits. Shrimp and grits great at brunch.
Maybe some charcuterie
me
just
Connor.
To finish
me and
it
Connor,
up.
We're going to do the
what about oatmeal?
The grits brunch.
What about oatmeal?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You could do that.
Kind of boring. What about pancakes?
Yeah, sort of
CST or
that's a breakfast.
So now here's the thing. You're getting pancakes and you're
that's
drinking
breakfast.
Alcohol with it. Like that's
breakfast.
Can I tell you one of my favorite things? Challah French toast.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you have that?
Yeah, the slice of cheddar.
Yeah, yeah. It all, yeah.
Wait, so you can't have pancakes, but you can have that?
No, that's more like, my, you know, that's me.
Maybe some
I'm not looking to crush mimosas and like savory
wow.
treats.
Some Havarti.
Yeah, that's a breakfast. That's a breakfast.
Frank, your cheese situation is...
Tough thing about the brunch, too. If you're going mimosas, you know, that's already acidic. If you want to add the coffee, more acidic. Mm. Can be tough.
It's tough.
You ever have a halloumi cheese?
Describe what it is. Is that the one
it's
with the...
It's a little rubbery, but it's salty. If, you've had it, halloumi, right? Right, New York, Rick?
Yeah.
So good. Mediterranean.
Nice.
I'm with Frank. I'm all kinds of cheese. Just maybe that's not my brunch.
Halloumi cheese is so good. Me. Halloumi cheese is so popular in the UK. I went to McDonald's there and they had halloumi fries.
Yeah. Nice.
It's crazy. Anyway, now I'm starving. Sheesh.
A little bit of rye bread.
Rye bread? Oh, what is this? I'm never going to brunch with you ever again. Or ever. Not again. Never went the first time. Never going to go.
We'll have dinner sometime. I'll just eat cheese.
Yeah. Miguel from Mexico. Hello, Ariel. First time question from a longtime listener. Thank you. Welcome. Hola. If either Volk or Bo Nickel cooked a medium rare steak for you in studio, would you try it? Sure. You know, I've had Wagyu, like sushi. It's pretty damn good, not going to lie. Is that medium rare?
Wagyu.
Wagyu?
Wagyu.
Like you've had a piece of uncooked.
I don't think you pronounce the Y. Excuse me.
Wagyu?
No, it's Wagyu. Am I right, Frank?
Wagyu.
Wagyu.
I said Wagyu.
All right.
Wagyu.
What did I say?
So wait, you've actually had a piece of this uncooked?
Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome.
I mean, that's the best.
They didn't like torch it with a
they
a
did
benzene.
That.
They did that.
They did
so
that,
sweat
yeah.
it a little bit.
Yeah, but
yeah, he doesn't mean like raw.
No,
but
no.
He's saying like underprepared, which is great.
What you thought, please.
I actually enjoyed it a lot with the rice.
When did you do this?
Dude, that must have melted in your mouth.
Yeah,
how could you go back to those tires that you chew on? How could you possibly?
Different strokes for different folks, bro.
It's the way it looks, right? Like you weren't even thinking about it.
It was really nice, but it was nice because it was like the mix of like the really hot because it was just like torched, but then the rice was like also warm, but a little less warm.
When did you do this?
Valentine's Day. Went to
you
a sushi
just now
place.
Told it.
Yeah. Is that a big deal? Should
yeah,
I, have,
I asked
did you get the breaking news?
Here it goes. Now I want you to think about salmonella and all the different parasites.
Now I'm so sick. I mean, it's been,
you do that,
it's been a month.
Why did you do that?
Yeah, that's a real dick move. If they came in and cooked it for me, of course, I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not going to be rude. I'm a very polite eater, if you will. But, I mean, I'm not chomping at the bit, if I'm being honest. But yeah.
Champing at the bit.
Champing at the bit or chomping at the bit?
Champing
okay,
at the bit.
That one you're right.
It's really champing.
Oh, I'm right. I mean, I'm always right.
It's actually champing?
Champing.
I'm just now learning this. Thought it was chomping my whole life.
Bit. Champing.
Because it's like with a horse, you put something.
It's
in the
one
mouth.
Of those. What are they called? Malprophisms, like where it's been mispronounced, and I just mispronounced that. But it's been mispronounced so many times that people accept both.
Mm. Just say there's no such thing as a.
Wait a second. Wait a second. According to Grammarist.com, the quick answer to whether champ or chomp is correct. Ah, pop up just came up.
The question is correct.
It's champing at the bit. Like,
both are acceptable for modern use,
yes,
meaning
exactly.
You can use either. To champ or chomp at the bit is to be restless or unable to show restraint.
Yeah, it's like how in the dictionary now literally can mean figuratively or literally.
Okay, but here's the thing. Like, champing stems from Old Middle English. Like we're not, you know, like we've evolved. So I don't know if I'm going to.
You asked me what's correct. You didn't ask me if to account for people using it incorrectly, they have accepted that. I acknowledge that.
This is a spicy Wednesday.
Just for the record, though, I never said Wagyu. It's Wagyu.
It is Wagyu.
No, it's not.
Wagyu.
Yes.
You fucking guy.
It is Wagyu.
No, it's not Wagyu.
Okay.
Is
Wagyu.
It? Let me see something. One second.
You're going to look this up.
How to pronounce Wagyu. Oh, here it is. Wait. Oh, wait.
Wagyu beef.
Wagyu.
So as I said,
no,
that's two for two.
No. Wait.
Wagyu beef.
See, it's Wagyu beef. Not, you're saying Wagyu.
That's literally what I said.
Wagyu beef.
Wagyu.
It's
Wagyu.
like
yeah,
okay.
it's like you
how
hear
do you
it
say,
and then it's the same.
How do you
then,
say the day before Wednesday? How do you say that?
Tuesday.
Yeah, see, I say Tuesday. Canadian thing.
But just because you're saying them wrong doesn't mean that we accept it.
I feel a little, this is like Canadian shaming, if I'm
it's
being
okay.
honest.
Look, I pronounced something wrong.
How do you
earlier.
Say
I don't
something
even know
that's organization?
Organization.
Yes, I say organization. It's just.
Well, first of all, that's the wrong emphasis on the wrong
no,
syllable.
No, it's a Canadian
but
thing.
But that's not.
It's a Canadian
that's
thing.
Not pronouncing
it. I'm not going to take this shaming. how do you say G-A-R-A-G-E?
Grange?
No, G-A-R-A-G-E.
Oh, garage.
Yeah, I say garage.
That's British. Where is that
no,
even coming from?
You don't, bro. You do
where
not
where is that
say
even coming
garage.
From?
Garage. Get out of here.
How do you say P-A-S-T-A?
Pasta.
I say pasta. That's legit.
All right,
that's a shoot.
That's legit. I've heard you say that before.
I say pasta.
I'm also very New York, though. I say, like, orange weird. Orange.
Yeah, I say orange.
Yeah, I say it weird.
Chris, Ariel, need some advice. I interviewed for a big promotion last week, and I find out the news on this day, if I was selected. Okay, we'll find out. The pessimist in me thinks they may have chosen someone else, although I am most qualified and deserving. Think of me as the Benil Dariush of the community bank I work for. My current and former colleagues have been sending me congratulations all week, assuming I will get the position, but I have some doubts. Were they sending you preemptive congratulations? Have you ever been certain that you were going to land a big gig or opportunity only to be let down at the final hour? How did you deal with it? There was something recently that I thought was going to happen, and it just kind of blew up at the final hour. No fault of my own, just circumstance. And yeah, it's a bummer. But the key is, don't cry over spilt milk. Don't let it define you. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't feel bad. None of that stuff. Dust yourself off. Believe that this will lead to something better. Believe that there's a reason why it didn't work out. And yeah, it sucks. You're gonna mourn. You're gonna be upset. You're gonna want to say, the world is out to get me. I can't catch a break. Personally, when I'm doing things like this, I like to keep them to myself. I don't like to put the cart before the horse. I don't like to count my chickens before they hatch. You know what I'm saying? All those analogies. I just like to keep in mind. Like, even when we were having our first child, I hardly told any of my friends. I'm just very kind of weird and superstitious about these things. And yeah, I just, you know, celebrate when it's time to celebrate. So positive thoughts. Wish you the best. If it doesn't work out, these things will happen. You'll have setbacks. You'll have moments where you'll feel like everyone's out to get you. It's about how you kind of, you know, rebound and use the setback and turn it into a comeback. But Lord knows I've had several of those. Just can't let it define you. Good luck, my friend. Mr. I don't like this word. Hey, Ariel, can we talk about what goes into booking the guests for each show? There's so many options to choose from. All the different orgs, fighters on upcoming fight cards, fighters on past weekend fight cards, well-known fighters, lesser-known fighters with a memorable performance. Do you have some type of decision tree or what? There has to be some method. Random fighter generator anxiety would be through the roof. Let me tell you something. Worst part of my week is booking this damn show, but it's also rewarding when it all comes to fruition. I'll give you some insight. So, you know, let's talk about Monday's show. Valentina Shevchenko, obviously she was on the list, but you don't want to ask too soon after a loss, so you want to wait a few weeks, but you want to jump in there and try to see if she'd be interested. Then you got Masvidal, big name, big fight, in the news, 170, but also has the card that he's promoting, so you think that there's a chance. Got to wait for the weekend. Biggest mistake you could do is book the show before the weekend, which sucks because now you're waiting till Saturday, Sunday. But, you know, relationships and whatnot, you try to hope for the best. And you try to pinpoint people that you think might be good characters, you know, once they fight and win. So you leave a few slots open. To me, the ideal show has 4 to 5 guests max these days. You know, there was once a time where we were doing this show and there was 12, 13, 14, 15 guests. And that was insanity. Now, all told, all week, with everything I'm doing, I am booking that many people, and that's insane. Did 4 interviews on Thursday last week. Insane. But I enjoy it. I enjoy the process of tracking them down, but I won't lie. Like, there's a lot of anxiety. You wait for the reply, but that moment where you get the yes. See, when you get the yes, it's big, and it's such a relief, and it's so exciting. But then between the yes and the actual interview happening, like, I remind these guys countless times before the show, because I don't want them to be late, I don't want them to forget, etc. It's really about looking at the schedule, who's coming up, who hasn't talked, who's in the news, look at the rankings, be reminded of the big names, you know, what's interesting that's out there, all that stuff and more. There's no real formula here. I have a wish list, I go back to it sometimes. The best are when, you know, by Saturday night, the whole thing is booked. Or if it's like a non-UFC week or big fight week and you can have everything booked by Friday. Those are the best. But if it's pay-per-views are actually the worst because they have the biggest name and then you have to try to see if you can get those big names. Those are the most stressful. So there was that period where I was doing DC and Helwani and that was the best because Monday I didn't have to do anything. I just had to show up and talk to DC and it was amazing. But of course, you know, not doing that anymore. But yeah, it's a thing. I mean, there are people who just do this for a living. Just do this for a living. They're just bookers. Crazy. Rami, Ariel and crew, awkward situation alert. Pandemic has screwed up my introduction routine. I don't know whether I'm supposed to fist bump, shake hands, high five, or dap someone up. How do you approach these situations with people that you aren't the most familiar with, inspired by the Caleb Plant ducking your handshake? Yeah, I did the fist bump to Caleb, and he went for the handshake, and it was this whole weird thing.
Did he grab your fist?
It was just weird. I think he left me hanging. Here's the thing. Yesterday I was at my son's soccer game, right? No, 2 days ago.
Here comes the story about the prime and the KSI.
No. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. There's a parent that comes up and they shake my hand. It's like, I don't want to shake hands. I'd rather do this. Can I do this?
Yeah. Why are you whispering?
Well, because they might be listening.
Bow is respectful.
I think the best thing that you could possibly do is a bow. Bow. How are you,
you
sir?
Put your hands together like that.
Oh, it is so great to see you. It is so great. I just want to send my love and respect to your family.
I like a good bow. I'm down for a bow.
Here's the problem. Shake the hand. There's no bathroom in sight. There's no sanitizer in sight. Now I'm touching my phone. I'm touching this.
Now, was it like a particular, was it a clammy hand or was it a regular handshake?
I just don't feel like we need to do it anymore. I really don't feel.
See,
feel
here's
like
my thing.
Larry Davis.
What does the pandemic have to do with, like, I'm not sure.
I get it. It has upped the anxiety.
Yeah,
I get that.
I get it too.
I don't want
to
shake hands.
But like, you never know what to do. I didn't know what to do pre-pandemic. Right.
No.
You have to kind of feel people out.
I was always handshake and dap up.
No.
No, I don't know. People seem kind of scared.
I don't want to shake hands. I want
to
bow.
You know someone is like very firm when you throw out the handshake and they just come back.
They just hold it steady.
Mm. They're just like, I'm not wavering on this here.
By the way, that's me.
Yeah, I mean, I can respect the fist bump. If you bowed at me and I had my hand extended, I'd be like, all right, that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Wow. I accept the bow. I'll take a bow.
If you stuck your hand out and they just bowed at you.
I'm down.
Yeah, I'd be a little off put.
I think I can read it. Like, they don't want to touch. That's all right. I'm good with that.
Listen, I don't want to. I don't feel like we need to touch each other. I don't feel like we need to exchange, like, this.
But there was a time you were all into the handshake.
Me?
Yeah.
When?
You're sitting over here doing six permutations with Nate Diaz.
Listen.
Trying to figure
it
out.
No, that's an example of my awkwardness. I don't know what to do. Also, truth be told, in the interviews, like you're holding the mic, my hands get super sweaty.
The clamminess.
It's brutal.
You're doing it out of respect to them at a certain time. So, I don't want to grab you with my sweaty hands.
This is what gets awkward. I'm holding the mic, and they want to go for the handshake, so that's why I give them the left fist bump.
Yep.
But then they come back and they want to do something, and then I have to switch, and now I'm sweaty, and it's a whole mess of a situation.
I mean, start bowing and let's see what happens.
Shout out.
I'm good with the bow.
Here's the key.
I say popularize it.
Preemptive fist bump. Fist bump is like
you put the fist out early so that they're just
That's smart. You beat them to the punch.
Set the tone.
Literally.
You set the tone.
I'm a handshaker dapper all day. So
elbows were weird.
The elbows are weird.
But you meet a parent, a dad, like you can't fist bump.
Look, they bow at me.
That's
I excuse
true.
Me.
Why not?
Yeah.
You're at school and you meet the teacher and you're like, oh, hey, what's up, Mrs. So and so? Like, what?
Why not?
It's a mess of a situation. The key is really just have sanitizer on.
Have sanitizer, but also I feel like everybody is awkward themselves about this. Like, it's fine. Nobody's going to remember that.
Listen,
nobody's going to remember that.
Is there anything worse than a freaking dead fish handshake?
Yeah, there's a few
things. But we're avoiding handshakes altogether in this
scenario. If you initiate the handshake and it's a dead fish,
yeah, no good.
It's tough luck.
Listen. Oh, that is the worst. Oh, there's nothing worse than a wet dead fish handshake.
We might as well not have met.
When you bowed, were they how many feet away from you were they?
Sometimes I like to do it like 10 feet away just to set the tone.
Right, they're like
not
on their way to give you a handshake and you bow at them. That's
and then what's good is like you just address the bow. Oh, you know, I just feel like it's a lot of respect. I'm showing you a lot of respect, so I hope you appreciate it.
With the hands together like
this.
That?
Listen.
Oh, I always do the hands, yeah.
If you go with this, I'll go with it. I'll bow to everybody from now on.
By the way, don't you feel great if someone's like, "Oh, what's
That's
up, Frank?
Awesome.
How are you?"
Yeah, let's
much
do it.
Much love.
Are we gonna bow?
I want a curtsy in there.
I'm not a woman. Yeah. I'm not gonna curtsy.
Because I know the behind the scenes, it feels like you're just doing it because you're afraid of the germs that I carry, not out of like a sign of respect.
Seems like a very a Steve Jobs type thing. Like I'm just gonna.
Honestly, I've been bowing for a long time. It's just a lot of people weren't getting behind it. Now I feel like they're getting behind it more.
I'm in. You got me.
All right.
Let's bow.
What's up, guys? Also, I don't mind a good salute.
Salute's more of an exit, I feel like, than a
entrance. How are you? How's your weekend? Not bad.
It feels like you're doing a drive-by what's up.
See, but,
like, it feels like you're walking by my desk and you're like, what's up, man? How was the weekend? Like,
yeah. See, bow is very like, official and respectful. Now you're like minimizing. Now you might as well just head nod. Just give them the what's up, you know? Like,
hey, what's going on?
Yeah, where's the head nod coming
in? How was
in?
The weekend?
I'm a head
yeah,
nod.
Yeah, I like a good head nod.
But see, that feels low. That feels low on the respect scale. Whereas a bow is very respectful. Now you're lowering yourself.
It's amazing that we're talking about this right now, about greeting people, because to break the fourth wall, we had someone who just entered the studio. Hello there. And I'm going to bow to you right now. Don't you feel good that I just bowed to you?
You can get out of this.
She loves it. Yeah.
What is she going to do? Walk up and
no,
and
she just said this is the nicest
show?
Greeting that she's ever received in her life.
Can I throw something out
How
there?
How did we time all this to happen exactly right now? This is unbelievable. Yes,
something that I don't love is like when it's like my really close friends and we see each other very often, but every single time we see each other, like got to do the dap up and the hug
too
and
much,
everything.
Too
you
much.
Don't like this.
I don't like
it's
that.
It's too
like,
much.
Bro,
oh, wow.
I saw you like 8 hours ago.
No one needs all of this. No one needs all of this.
I hit a heavy nod. Just like,
damn, I'm.
What about the bro hug? How do you feel about the bro hug?
I mean, if I haven't
every
seen someone in a while, I'm down with it. I mean, sometimes when people are making their exits, like I end up dapping them up like 8 times. It's just like, all right, man, like we'll see you, bro. It's just like, and then something else comes up, and then 15 seconds later, all right, man, I'm out of here. Right,
is there, dude, by the way, is there anything worse than the bro hug, but then the other person doesn't like you almost have to like bring them in, and then they're awkward about it. Like you go in for the bro hug, but they kind of like stiff you back. You know what I mean?
When you say bro hug, are you talking big time hug, or are you talking the dap up where you bring each other in?
Yeah.
And
the other person isn't like a recipient.
Oh yeah, and they don't move at all.
And you're like, this is awkward right here.
I'm bringing them in. They're coming in.
Yeah. If you're gonna do it, like you might as well just go ahead and own it. Just like,
and when
just
you do it,
in,
you
man.
Then transition to the this.
No, that's first. The dap is first. Come on, what's wrong?
The way in. The transition is happening.
Is.
Like you hit the dap, and then as you're bringing each other in, you make the shift.
Big dapper, daps all day for my boys.
I'm one of the top three worst huggers of all time. But I'll tell you what, like if I really go into it, I could give a good hug. I just don't want to because of the germs and everything. But 100% honest, like I could give a good like I would. If you like when I give Action Bronson a hug.
By the way, you sound very upset. Nobody's challenging.
No,
your
I'm a bad hugger. I will admit, I'm a horrible hugger. I'm stiff. I'm not affectionate enough. But if I really truly loved you, it'll be one of the best hugs of your life.
I mean, no joke. I saw your eyes when you were trying to hug DC in that parking lot. So
you saw the love.
I saw that. Yeah, there was pure love in your eyes. I believe that you can be a good hugger.
Appreciate that.
You hug everyone that comes into the studio.
Let's all dap it up.
I do.
But now I'm going to bow from now on.
It's a great point, Frank. You know why?
Because I love it when the microphones hit each other.
Yeah, it's great. I like that. Also, I want to show love and appreciation for them coming to my house.
I noticed you didn't hug Dylan.
No, I had nothing. I mean, this is...
Well, Dylan started with the...
I remember now. He's the one who wouldn't shake your hand.
Yeah, that's one of the all-time bitch moves of all time.
Should have just bowed on him.
Also, can I give you one of my true pet peeves?
Mm-hmm.
And I just
these weren't the real ones.
I just want to throw this out there to anyone who is a friend of mine and plans on being a friend of mine. If you come to my house and you don't take off your shoes, you might as well never come back.
Oh, this is a non-starter, though. You must take off
shoes
in every house.
What is it with Americans who don't take off their shoes? Like, I would say 95% of you guys don't take off your shoes.
And you have a designated area to put your shoes, right?
Absolutely. And also, Canadians, we don't even think twice. Like, It's off in a second. The shoes are off the moment I walk in. If I go even to like an open house, like when we were looking at houses, I always took off. And they're like, no,
the
don't worry. I'm
booty
like,
things.
I'm in someone's house. What do you want me to bring like my I always say to my kids, I'm like, you were just in a public bathroom. You're going to walk in someone's bedroom with this? Like, what was going on
public
here?
Public bathroom, mud, dirt.
You know yourself.
Shoes off.
I mean,
my wife is Chinese. If I walked in with shoes,
I love it.
I don't think
that's
I'd
why
be divorced.
I love that
happen.
Culture. I love everything about it. That you have to take off your shoes. You have to. Ugh, it's disgusting. You go to someone's house for dinner and you don't take off your shoes? Do you know I fixate on them. I just try to stare at the shoes the whole time, hoping that they're like, oh, shit, should I take
but
off?
Wait, so you're saying you go to somebody's house.
Wait. You,
I fixate.
You wouldn't ask someone to take your shoes off?
Is there anything more awkward than that?
Oh, what are you talking about?
In your own house, you wouldn't ask them
nice.
To take their shoes.
What?
Are you serious?
Yeah, nice.
You wouldn't be like, oh, hey, guys, you mind just taking off
time
your
out.
Shoes?
Is it?
I don't think there's one person on earth. You're ripping on Americans and whatnot. I don't think there's one person on earth that would get offended if they were in your house and you were like, hey, if you don't mind, could you just please take off your shoes? I think everyone would be like, oh, yeah, of course. Sorry about that, man. Sorry about that.
100% on Connor's team with this.
You are
doing it to yourself. That's your fault. First of all, are you suggesting like a dinner scenario where everybody has their shoes off and then people come in and don't like take the hint? and like don't take their shoes off and just like walk
this
through
has
the
happened
house?
This has happened countless times in my life.
Ugh.
And it's ruined my night.
First of all, I blame you.
Yeah,
you must ask them.
How formal of a dinner party are we talking here?
Like at my house, like a Shabbat dinner.
Like tucked in shirts, nice dress shoes.
I mean, I'm at home, but you know, like
that's literally an episode. You get to a clothing threshold where like you can't really ask them to take the shoes.
No, I disagree.
Off.
You have to. You have to put a sign up that says shoes off, and you just tap it.
Such a great call that you just said.
Okay,
because we had a class party at our house on a Saturday night 2 weeks ago. It was the night of Marab and Piotr Jan, and I was very nervous about the shoe situation. I have all these people coming over. They're all going to be dressed in their little nice shoes and everything, and I was super nervous. And then I came up with the perfect solution. Do you want to hear what it is?
Yes.
I asked my son Oliver to write in his cute kid handwriting, please take off your shoes, with a nice little picture.
Oh, nice. Class stick party, that on, like kids on the
No, 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 parents' night. Parents' night.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Stick that on the front door. Walk. Oh, got to. Oh, isn't that cute? They had the kid do it.
Why are you so awkward about this?
I just had an envision that it was all kids coming over your house.
Yeah,
and you were still too nervous.
Those kids all
that,
be like, yo, take your effing shoes
exactly,
off.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
Punk.
You were too nervous. Nah, you're just standing
what?
There in the corner staring
but
at the
kids. You'd be surprised. The kids are the worst offenders of this.
Of course they are. They're kids.
Yeah.
What are you afraid of them saying if you ask them to take off their shoes?
It's awkward.
It's your house.
It's your house.
I can't do it. My wife and I both, we can't do it.
It'd be one thing if you went over to someone else's house and you're like, do you mind taking your shoes?
Yeah, I've got it for you.
I do think it's very bizarre when
this.
I go into someone's house and they're wearing shoes. I mean,
it's okay. I've solved it
please,
for you.
Please, please, please.
They have these things you can step into that put little booties on people's
shoes. Oh, those
shoes.
Are great. Oh, yeah. I know those.
You get that. You put it at the door.
Nah, I don't want your shoes on. Just take them off. I want to see your socks.
You're not willing to ask. You're too scared to ask.
No, the new thing is I'm going to keep the sign for my son. I'm just going to put it up anytime someone comes.
Blame it on the kid.
Yeah, right, blame it on the kid. Oh, it's cute.
I really have to take my shoes off. Ask my
it's
son.
Cute, but you know I really mean it. Take off your.
By the way, I'm not trying to judge, but 1,000% Frank is someone who keeps his shoes on at someone's house.
That's not true. I take them off. If I walk into a house that there is not a pile of shoes, I ask.
Also, is there anything more embarrassing? And maybe Andy can weigh in on this if she wants. You have the woman, she brings the nice, she's got the big boots, something like that. Take the shoes, and it's like kind of ratty white socks. That's kind of embarrassing. Then I feel sort of bad.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. Like if someone comes over for a dinner party and they're like in a jacket and a tie, and then they have these Hanes white socks on or something, like it's just like the outfit is completely falling apart now.
That,
like, why did
I feel
show?
Bad.
Get into a dicey scenario if they have sandals and they have no socks, right? Oh. Now we've got bare feet walking all over the house.
Okay, so this happened. With a friend of my son's.
Why are you asking?
He doesn't wear socks. He wears shoes in the winter. No, sorry, he wears sandals in the winter. And his
sandals, though.
Sandals. And we're watching the Super Bowl, and he's picking his dirty feet. And I was like, listen. Then he starts playing with the toys at the house. I had to wash the toys afterwards because he's touching.
Did you tell? So, okay, so here's a question. Would you have rather had him keep the shoes on or have the shoes off?
The whole thing was a mess. I was like, what's going on?
To know when.
How old is this kid?
I don't want to say because now people will listen to our show. It's a problem. It's a problem.
I'm imagining a 7-year-old sitting on your couch just
I'm talking to my wife in French, so no one understands. Like, pourquoi il ne met pas les chaussettes? Est-ce que tu vois ses pieds?
Would it have been rude to give them socks?
Hey, bud, can you throw these on?
Yeah.
I'll burn them after. No problem.
I got to be honest. I've encountered all of these, and I would have no shame.
Yeah, we're gonna need like
a
bowling shoe rental type thing at your front door, where you get to rent a pair of booties to wear around
your
house.
Just take off the shoes, bro. That
sucks too.
I feel like you're too self-conscious. Yeah. Make them do it.
All right.
Do they enter through the front door?
Next month we have a birthday party. I'm gonna tell everyone.
Shoes off.
My friend Yurik Rick said, "Take your damn shoes off."
Yeah, I wonder if they're
blame it on me.
I wonder if you entered through the garage, if it went better.
No, front door feels more formal.
You have
space
for the shoes,
it feels
yes?
formal, but then when they're, you know, in their tuxedo and then...
No one's coming to my house in a tuxedo.
The holy socks.
This is not the Great Gatsby here, all right? No one's coming with a top hat.
You have a section for the shoes,
Yes.
Where it's clear.
Okay,
Also, another smart move is, if you don't want to ask them to take it off, just say, hey, do you want some sandals? Like some flip, you know...
Flip-flops.
Yeah.
So
in the house, you know, that's what I wear. Do you guys wear sandals in your house?
Yes, you would rather ask.
Oh, just
hey,
say
man,
hey.
Do you want some
and like,
sandals?
Oh, you want these off? Are you the size 11 or 12?
That just feels more passive aggressive than just like
maybe.
Yeah, just
as I'm not even saying that you like let them come in. You like as you're entering, if you don't mind, just take off your shoes. Whether they had the intentions or not,
right?
You say it, no matter what.
Can I just really quickly say,
please?
I didn't encounter this scenario until I moved to New York City.
Really? By the way, is this on the air or off the air?
I'm not sure. It's on air.
Okay, perfect.
My entire life, this was never a thing, so it was a little strange to me at first.
Wait, that people took them off or didn't take them off?
That people took them off.
Wow.
And I feel like
wait, so we've been talking about you for the last 20 minutes here?
No, not really, because
her shoes are off right now.
You know, yeah, my shoes are off.
Okay,
I walked into a control room with no shoes on.
I've kept my shoes on in many people's houses.
Yeah, I didn't do it until I moved here because nobody ever asked. Nobody ever told us. Like, it was never a thing in my own house. We never took them off.
Wow, so you come, like, your dad comes home from work or your mom, whatever. Keep the shoes on.
Not now.
No, back then.
Yeah, we would just keep our shoes on, take it to our rooms. Like, it was, like, not
to bedroom?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
I'm serious.
What?
Ariel's face.
He's like
Where's the cutoff? Like, bathroom too?
I mean, whenever you want to take them off, you take them off.
Wait a second. Like, wait a second. If you're getting ready for bed, like you're going to take a shower, you're still wearing your shoes? Like, you're like, and then what do you do with the shoes? Do you bring them downstairs or do you just leave them in your bedroom?
We had a spot for them in our bedroom.
Wow.
We each did. Yeah, they just went back in the closet.
You realize how dirty shoes are, right? Like, they're literally the dirtiest
I'm
thing
saying,
on
like, back then, like, we just didn't, like, this wasn't even a thing that we thought about.
How do you feel about it now in retrospect?
I mean, yeah, no, now I do it all the time. Okay. And, like, if I don't take my shoes off outside, my husband is like, what are you doing? You know, like, but
yeah.
It took me a while to get used to it. And, like, the first time people asked me, I was like, what? Like, and I was, like, panicking, like, what socks do I have on? Like, I've been walking in this forever. If it's raining and your feet are wet, you're like, shit, you know? Yeah. Like, so all these things to consider.
Yeah, no.
All my shoes are in my bedroom.
Oh, that's weird.
Same.
They have to be.
Why?
I have a roommate in an apartment.
Just keep them in the front. Just have a section.
Do you know how many pairs of shoes that I have?
Get a shoe rack.
Oh, my God. All right, yeah.
I'm okay with shoes. What's wrong with the shoes being stored in the bedroom?
I don't like it's like things are flying in the air.
New York City apartment.
See, that's too far.
This isn't
I have an area
wide open pastures here to keep 25 pairs of shoes.
This is so crazy.
All my shoes are in the front. I have a front space. All my shoes are there.
Yes, it must be nice being a mature adult with a house.
I completely understand.
No, when I lived in an apartment for years and years, I didn't
have
my shoes.
How many roommates did you have?
I had my brother. And he's an insane person. I didn't promote freaking.
Are you afraid of the roommate like, taking your shoes? What's going on with
yeah,
that?
No, he's saying like the dirt.
I would not want. Dude, you know Devin. My roommate has like literal 800 pairs of shoes.
He keeps his favorite
four
up
front. If that was just out in the front,
he's not wearing
like,
all those on a daily basis.
Yeah,
of course not.
But
where's he going to keep them?
Where's he keeping
them? If he's
them?
Not wearing them in his bedroom.
He leaves like the main ones in the front and then he brings out the other ones.
Leaves the
main
like
the day to day shoes. The day to day shoes. He could leave that in the front.
Okay, I can respect that. Where does he keep the other ones?
All right, fine.
In his room.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, fine. But like the day to days, you're not bringing them into your room. Like the shoes you wore today, you're bringing them in your room.
Yeah.
Shout out to Connor and Rick wearing the same shirt today.
Yeah.
Actually, nah.
He's got something.
This is Freena Diaz.
respect. Oh yeah, that was a great one.
All right. I just want to understand, like Ariel, is it? Like, if you take them off outside,
yes.
You carry them into your closet,
it,
but the rest of the shoes...
It's flying in the air. Like, to me, the bedroom has to be... By the way, I'm a psycho.
Yes,
I am not allowed... I'm not. No one is allowed to wear the clothes that they wore outside, like, in my bedroom. Like, on the bed. You can't sit on my bed.
I can
understand
that.
That was a huge...
Yeah.
Actually,
like,
there was a big point
right
of contention between
home?
My future wife and I. Like, she's on the subway, and she comes into, like, my tiny studio apartment. Like, you can't sit on my bed. You got to... Here's some sweatpants for you.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
You're the highest extent of the germaphobe. Sure.
Yeah. So,
that's fine.
Yeah, I just don't... I don't like any... That should be the cleanest spot in your house.
The shoes are touching nothing, though, potentially.
Yeah, you're putting them with the clothes, with your... You know, it's...
I have a shoe rack in a walk-in
if
closet.
If it goes straight on a shoe rack, perfectly fine.
Let's move on. Kevin from Ottawa. Hey, Ariel and crew. I can't believe we had a second darts controversy 2 weeks ago and no one's talking about it. So Joe Markowski and Ariel played a game of darts. Yes. If Joe wins, he gets $50. If Ariel wins, he gets to be on the Katie Taylor broadcast. Yes. Joe wins the first game. Then they agree to do a double or nothing. And here's where the controversy happens. Double or nothing would just mean that if Ariel wins the second game, he doesn't have to pay Joe the $50 from losing the first game. Not that he would also get to do the Katie Taylor broadcast. If Ariel gets to do the Katie Taylor broadcast, he would need to win the third game. I'm bringing this up again because it seems that the controversy still hasn't been cleared up. as why am I reading this? This is the worst question of all time. Why would Lewis include this in our questions? The deal was, I lost the first. It wasn't a double or nothing. Maybe that wasn't the best term, but it was, let's rack it again. That was the deal. And then I won. What are you trying to break my heart here, Bo? What's his name? Kevin. Why do you think it was Bo? oh, because I'm reading Bo here on the next question. Yeah. I win. Read it and weep. Okay, Kobe has four questions? Sheesh. First for Rick, another question about your man Cedric Doumbé. After his TKO win a few weeks ago, this takes him to 4-0, all second-round finishes. Do you think it would be a good idea for the UFC to give him the Bo Nickel treatment and have him compete in an upcoming season of the Contender Series to boost ratings, help fans in the U.S. find out about him before he has his first official fight?
I think he's clearly done something to upset the UFC, because he's definitely good enough to be competing at that level. Contender Series or beyond level. He was on the Paris card at one point. So what I would do is, if I was another promotion, I'd be snatching him up right now before the UFC changes their mind.
Star.
If I was Cedric?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Star on the rise.
Star. Like, kickboxer? That dude could like championship level kickboxer, like accolades up the wazoo. And personality for days. Like, he could be a mega, mega star with the right push. He he's young. He Alex is somebody who kind of did it with their work, right? Alex did it with his fists. He's not going to wow you with the personality. People are starting to come around to him, but Cedric can talk the talk, walk the walk, style in the cage. He's the ultimate showman. And he's really damn good. So if I was Bellator, PFL, one, I'd probably be on the hunt for him right now before UFC decides to come back to that well.
PFL Europe. Maybe too late.
Like, I don't know what the delay has been with the UFC. He was on that Paris card. He got off. He sent some tweets to Dana White. I don't know if that's the offending incident. I think he said something to the effect of, like, it's not a show without the best anyway. So, like, something that kind of, like, makes it, like, he's the big attraction. I don't know if that's it, but
I feel like Dana likes that kind of stuff.
You need to – somebody needs to snatch this guy up, like, ASAP. He needs to be fighting for a major MMA promotion. I don't know what the holdup is.
I like your usage of up the wazoo, by the way. I feel like that's a Helwaniism. I just actually looked up, like, what the origin of that is. Like, if it comes from something, there's no real good answer, to be honest.
I almost don't want to – dive deeper. Bless you.
Wow. Bless is that the first sneeze that I've ever had on the show? Yeah.
It might be.
Wow. I've
it
never had a sneeze. So much going on here. next for DJ Frankie Frank. What is your go-to track if you need to feed some energy into a crowd? Maybe a little girls just want to have fun, perhaps?
Color Me Bad, I Want to Sex You Up.
Sing it for us. I don't know that one.
TikTok and You Don't Stop.
Keep going.
I Want to Sex You Up.
Ooh.
There you go.
GC, in honor of our fallen brother, Jed Meshew, and his $1,000 loss on Valentina, I'd like to ask, what is your biggest loss on a single wager, the most you've put on a single bet and lost in terms of unit?
I'm not, like, the huge money guy, like, where, like, I would never put $1,000 even on a -700. I just wouldn't do that. There was one time where I was riding so hot, it felt like I couldn't lose. And it was like the highest my bankroll had ever gotten. This was when the Columbus Blue Jackets were going for the NHL record, most wins in a row. It was like 20 or something. I want to say this is 2017. And like the bankroll was big at the time. I unloaded like $100, or I mean $500 on them, playing the Washington Capitals, like -110, -110 each way. I was like, they're gonna get the record tonight. It's gonna be incredible. Got me and all my boys on. We went to a bar to watch, and they lost 5-0. Yeah,
that is annoying.
Yeah,
I wasn't expecting a hockey story for this one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really the guy that like just fully unloads the clip like that. I like to keep it even keeled. Because I'd just be too nervous.
Yeah, I know. I don't blame you. I get nervous for a $5 one. Finally, Mr. Knows, my question for you is another pro wrestling question. Which big wrestling star could you just never make a connection to and question why they were so popular? For me, it's Randy Orton and Kane. Just didn't see what the others do, so what about you? Thanks, as always, for the entertainment. As always, fellas, the 10-plus hours of the MMAR plus no bets barred a week make truck driving in Australia fly by. That is pretty awesome. You know, I was never a big Ultimate Warrior fan, to be honest. That's one that comes to mind, the late Ultimate Warrior. I know a lot of people loved them. I don't know. I just, it was just a lot of stuff. It was a lot of yelling and running and running and yelling.
But he looked so cool.
Yeah, he did look cool. But the skill set, like the repertoire wasn't really there, you know? Just wasn't, I don't know, wasn't my thing. Finally, Christian. Yo, Ariel, need some personal advice from you and the team. Been with my wife for 15 years now, and I'm running out of ideas for birthdays, anniversaries, and Saturday nights with no kids. So in the spirit of crowdsourcing, what's the most romantic thing you've done for a significant other? P.S. My prediction, GC runs away with this. Frank's a dark horse. Rick says define romance and ultimately thinks it's a social construct and refuses to buy into it. Wow. That is amazing.
I must say that's very good. The way they've laid that out is very good because you would expect that from me.
Yeah.
And I'm at the point in my relationship where we're kind of like, you know, gifts we're saving toward other things, yeah, and kind of move that stuff to the side. But I will say in my day, inspired in that way. I talked about it. I'm not the text person, but I'm a good gift giver.
Right.
But that's very funny. And it is a social construct, and I don't believe that you need to be pressured into giving somebody a gift like that.
Is GC the dark horse here?
I thought Frankie was the
dark
horse.
Oh, wait. What did he say you were?
The runaway.
The runaway. Sorry. Well, here's the thing. If I may.
Please.
Rick is married. How many years? Six, seven? Seven.
I'm married something eight. Like that, and I've been with my wife for 16, 17.
Frank married. How many years? Oh, I'm not going to answer that. That's too personal.
Five.
Five? Okay. I married 15 years this year. Jesus.
Wait.
Yeah?
Oh, but you were with Jacqueline for longer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Known each other.
I mean, there's got to be something in the history of that relationship that was like, you just schmoozed her hard. Like,
yeah, what?
Really pulled out the big guns.
Oh, for sure. Oh, I got a story for you. But the
yes,
point is, right now, we're all in the mode where it's like, all right, you know, you're still in the courtship mm-hmm. mode. So I feel sure. like you have to be on your P's and Q's. Now, I'm not saying like you have to do like elaborate things, but it does get a little different, you know, post kids, post multiple years.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like I'm sure, you know, anniversaries and Valentine's Day are a bigger deal. You know, here we're like, oh, yeah, today's anniversary. You know what I mean? Am I wrong?
Yeah.
So you probably have more modern examples, more recent examples than us.
Yeah. More modern.
In the 11th grade, I was actually we dated in the 10th grade and then broke up. And then 11th grade, I spent a year trying to get her back. And so with my friend David Fisher, shout out, we turned his car, I didn't have a car, into a party mobile on her birthday, which was yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. We decorated his car with balloons and streamers and drove to her house. And I thought in my crazy mind that this would be the thing to win her back. Now, shortly thereafter, I did win her back, but it's never been confirmed if the party mobile. But I kind of thought in the moment it would happen, and it didn't. I was just, I kind of got like a thank you and a hug, and you know, was looking for more of a confirmation of a, you know, like a pact. But it felt like a very romantic thing to do, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, for sure. When you and your buddies come up with it, it's definitely romantic. You know? Nothing no, says romance.
I just used
like,
his car.
Like,
I was using
like
his car.
You crowdsourcing it the same way this guy did.
I mean,
even giving her like your that. Exclusive time.
Well, you know, I didn't have a car. I didn't even have a license. I failed my license, you know, four times.
It was
times.
Your idea, though.
It was my idea. It was all my idea.
Okay. Yeah. Well, fair enough.
Did you fail your license because you kept taking your shoes off when you got in the car?
No. I got a little nervous. That would be weird.
No, shoes off in the car is gross. Got to keep the shoes
That would
on.
Be weird. No, I would just get nervous. I don't know. It's a weird thing. I felt prepared every time, but I would just kind of buckle under the press. But, you know, go ahead.
I have some general tips.
Yeah, go ahead, right? Please.
Number one, throughout the year, just anytime they're talking about what they want to do or like, write that down. Just keep the notes, right? My wife has wanted this particular hair styling thing. Ulta, I know they got it. Got to write that down. Then come time, oh, wow, it's like you read my mind. No, I just pay attention. I just listened while you're talking throughout the year. So that's one smart tip. Another smart tip, experiences, things that you can share, they become memorable, right? Things are kind of good, especially if it's something that they really, really want. But one of the things I've done in the past is like take my wife to a concert for an artist that she really wanted to see but maybe wasn't expecting to see. Not something as obvious as like, oh, my God, Taylor Swift is town and it's the hardest ticket. More like one of her like, you know, less known type band and you can make it a real intimate experience. Take advantage of those. Then, like, unique type of opportunities, like do stuff that is a little off the beaten path. For example, White Castle does a thing where on Valentine's Day, you can basically reserve a spot at a location. And we have rented a White Castle all to ourselves. And this is free, by the way. You can just do this. I don't know if they do this anymore. But we got to eat White Castle in a closed White Castle restaurant, which was kind of fun. Now, I'm not about to pretend this is gourmet dining, but there was something unique about that experience that we'll never forget. So focus in on those types of things, and you'll never go wrong.
Who knew?
Speaking of dark
New York Rick is the actual the dark
I'm thoughtful.
Here. Yeah.
I'm thoughtful. Yeah.
So I once took her while living in Phoenix to a bat cave. hear me out.
Okay.
So
sounds horrible, friend.
In the Scottsdale area, there's a bat cave that every night at like 6:30, right when the sun's going down, the bats will start coming out, and it's a lot of fun to see, especially if you don't expect it. It's like in the middle of the desert, and then 1, 2, 3, and then 20, 30, 40 of them come out. It's pretty cool.
Wow. I mean, I would have zero interest, less than zero interest in that. That cave,
I could care less.
Oh my God, that is horrible.
So that's the most romantic thing you've ever done?
Yeah, that is weird, bro.
That's dark.
I actually have a decent one.
Okay.
It kind of goes off of Rick's thing, like listening. There was this pair of shoes my girlfriend wanted very bad. You know, she just kind of dropped hints. I never asked the shoe size, anything like that.
Sketch.
Actually, I had to sneak in, find the shoes, you know.
Right.
The shoe size landed it. Get them for we go to dinner. This actually plays nicely with the most money I've ever lost on a bet. Super fancy dinner. She's like a foodie type. The restaurant, the chef was like had one iron chef, very renowned guy. You just show up and he makes the meal. You don't order off a menu or anything like that. Prefix price. And then as we go through the meal, like there's these little add-ons and they're charging you for water and then they charge you, you know, obviously extra for alcohol and then desserts are extra and everything like that. And by the time I got the bill, it was so much more than I thought it was going to be. I had to have turned pale as a ghost. It was so expensive.
What are we talking?
I mean, we're talking like a $400 meal.
All right.
And like I was expecting like $150, something like that. And I never told her about this, that I had, like, freaked out on the inside. I just threw the card down until, like, 2 years later. It's a funny story. We look back.
Now, does she still remember and love that meal?
The meal was unbelievable. It was things that I had never tried.
Sasabuna?
Crazy textures. No, but I did go to Sasabuna with her as well. That was a great experience.
Not 400.
Not 400. We did sake on the train for that one. It was a nice, quaint New York.
On the train? Oh, because you were coming from...
Coming from here, yeah.
Right. Oh, that train.
That's
okay.
That's very New York.
Great time, though.
The most romantic thing I ever did is not replicable. It is replicable, but not by this person in particular.
Why not?
Because it was my proposal.
I was just going to say my proposal. You go ahead.
I was going to say, none of y'all.
I was just going to say my proposal.
Yeah, well, this person's already married, so it's like,
true.
It's not really imparting great wisdom, but I proposed to my wife on the phone.
Oh, my God, yes. Wasn't I a contributor to this?
Were you?
Yes, of course.
I forget. Oh, I called you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Lord.
By the way,
what did you say? By the way,
you have that chalked up as a romantic thing. The phone.
This is not okay. Let me spit some.
All right, here we go. Here we go.
So,
please do spit some like you did over the phone.
Yeah,
I'm having a terrible day, and this is because. So, oh wow, you're actually very involved in this story, and I'm just remembering.
Yes.
That. So, somebody I worked for previously.
Yes.
I worked in a smaller startup at the time, and there were some personal tasks combined with work stuff that were part of my responsibilities and things like that. And it was a small crew of us. And so one of the things was somebody was flying back in to New York at that time, and it was arranged for somebody else to go pick them up,
mm-hmm.
somebody else that I worked with. That person became unreliable and wasn't able to do it. So then it became kind of my responsibility by default. At which point I said, you know what? I'll suck it up. We'll figure it out and we'll get it done. But not something I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So before that, we're playing basketball. Me, you.
Yes. Shout out.
And the rest of our team. Yeah. Shout out to the Expos. Yeah. I'm on your basketball team. I pick up my phone after the game and I'm finding all this out. So now I'm like, okay, I just played this basketball game. I've got to figure out to now get to an airport in a snowstorm because it's a snowstorm and that's why this whole rigmarole and everything's getting shifted around. I have to figure out how to get from this basketball game home, drop off the dog that I was watching of this person who I'm picking up, give the dog off to my wife, get back in the car, get to Philadelphia to get the person from the airport. So
what is that, 90 minutes?
I've got this ordeal, maybe like 2 hours and in a snowstorm. I get home. I literally don't shower after this basketball game. I pick up the pup, throw it to my wife, and say, you've got to watch the pup. I'm on my way to Philly. I'll be back as soon as I can. Hop in the car on my way to Philly thinking life is miserable. It does not get worse than this. It was one of my worst days. And not,
I remember.
You know,
I remember.
It's just the situation.
Yeah.
I call Helwani and I'm like, what do you think? I think the only possible way that this day, that this terrible worst day of my life could get any better, the only positive that could possibly come for this, I'm still on the road, I'm not even there, is if I got the woman who I love to marry me. If I'm able to convert this to something positive. And what did you say? This is where I don't remember.
I think
what
I said just go for it.
You say, okay, so then I got some good counsel from Helwani. Yeah. I call her on the phone. I say, look, I explain the whole situation because I literally just threw a dog at her and left. She doesn't know any of what's going on. I tell her the whole situation. And I say, will you marry me? And she's like, haha, very funny. This is, you know.
No ring, by the way.
No, I mean, I'm not even in her presence.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
That's right. Like, you didn't have one.
Wasn't planning it. Say, the only way this day is going to get better is if you marry me. Tell her the whole story. She's like, oh, okay, yeah. And then it was, I say that as like more like she was like confused and still not understanding what's happening. Go to Philly, pick up, driving back, give somebody else who's stuck in the snowstorm a ride as well. We're making our way. And then at some point stop off and get like a little junkie ring.
Like a what?
Like a 25-cent like junkie thing.
A junkie ring?
Like
I never
trash.
Even heard of that. Sorry.
A trashy, like little like plastic
I got it.
Piece of junk. Get home, propose properly, and we're off from there.
Does she love that?
She likes the story. I like the story. You know, because there's
that's
something
all that matters.
There's something romantic about the idea of
you're like down on your luck.
Yeah,
despair.
The worst possible day became the best day.
That's true.
And
that's
there's
beautiful.
Something
that is beautiful.
Romantic in a broader meta sense of the idea that like
throw in
a
some
day
bats,
could be completely
some cheese,
turned around.
You got a great day. Free, yeah.
That's called a callback, Frank. I like that. Sarah Silverman talked about that on Sunday. She like brought
shout
it.
Out.
Like,
six out of ten.
Yeah. She said that's a callback. No, that is nice. I do remember that day vividly. I remember the phone call. And you're driving, and it was like 9 or 10 p.m. You're driving, and I'm like, wow, you still got...
And I had just seen you an hour before schwitzing my butt off.
Did you get a chance to take a shower before?
I did not.
Oh,
it's
even worse. You're all sticky and stuff. No. Oh.
I drove... So I end up, I probably got home like 2 a.m. That's the first time I got to hop in the shower. I did the real proposal, and then hopped in the shower. But it was the best day of my life.
No, now it is. Yeah, it would have been the worst. Turned it into the best. That is tremendous. My proposal, very quickly, I was doing my own website, jarrypark.com. There was an event coming up in Dallas, HDNet Fights 2. That's how old I am, December of 2007. I told my wife I was going to Dallas to cover this event, but in reality, because I couldn't think of anything more believable, in reality, it was happening in 2 weeks. I got on a plane instead of going to Dallas. I went to Montreal. I asked her parents if I could marry her. Went to dinner. They said yes. Took the 6 a.m. flight, landed 7:37. I don't know what time it was. Got to our apartment. Actually had like one of those like old school digital cameras and propped it up behind me, rang the doorbell of the apartment. She wakes up and is all sort of like bleary-eyed, and there I am on my knee with the ring and all that stuff.
Way to
and
go,
that's
man.
How I
caught off, nice. Caught off guard.
Yeah, I feel like that.
Shocked.
She was shocked. Yeah, she was a little bit like, "What is going on?" You know, she just woke up. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, I didn't go. She was like, "Can we think about it? Can we have some brunch?
No,
brunch callback?
Yeah, brunch.
What do you want? Mimosa, tequila sunrise."
Asking the parents, very traditional, very
yeah,
very
face
nice
to face. Could have
right
done,
there.
You know, I was in New yeah. York. Could have done the, nice. You know, FaceTime, whatever. Was FaceTime a thing back then? Probably not. 2007.
No. You get digital camera.
I barely had an iPhone back then.
Yeah, you're right. Sheesh, I had like a Motorola
still
Razor.
SD card.
That... Yeah, yeah. I don't even know where that clip is. Probably should find it. But yeah,
probably on. What was it, Flickr.com?
Flickr. I get Shutterfly.
Shutterfly.
Remember that? Yes. Shutterfly?
Shutterfly is more contemporary.
Oh, there was
Flickr. I was going to say my parents still use Shutterfly.
Photo Bucket. Yeah, that's the one.
Photo Bucket.
Do you guys
Photo
remember Bucket. MapQuest? Anyone remember
oh, yeah.
MapQuest?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Print them out.
Connor, you don't remember MapQuest.
Come on, man.
What are you talking about?
These are my very young days.
What
MapQuest.
Year did you graduate high school?
2012.
Oh, wow.
That is insane. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Rick, we were doing this show in 2012.
Sometimes I see the really old clips and I'm just like, I was in 10th grade history
oh,
class
man.
At that point. Not even knowing these
How
people
did this
existed.
Happen? How did this happen? All right. Shout out to Moderator Lewis. Thank you very much for all the questions. Thank you to everyone else for all the questions. We got to make some picks now, friends. But first, a quick word from our good friends over at...
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So much going on. You got to have multiple screens over the weekend because there is just so much going on. PFL, obviously, at the top of the list. All right, guys, what are we doing? What are we doing?
You also forgot.
What did I forget?
Fight Circus.
As Fight well. Circus. Oh, my God. Any lines out for that?
Nah, nothing yet. I'm hoping we're going to get some game bread lines here.
Yes.
Later in the now week, maybe. So do we break our own rule? Because, you know UFC, a lot to choose from. Mm-hmm. Allowed to go, you know. Anthony Joshua's like a minus 1,100.
Yeah, let's
right
go.
Now.
Let's go. Let's
I say we just
let's get it started. Let's
want.
Get the party started. Yeah.
All right. Let's randomize this order then.
I'm usually the stickler, so I will allow.
Letting the hair down, having some fun. WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
And Ariel will lead the way.
That's yes. Awesome. As we just changed the rule.
As we just changed the rule. I wonder who you're gonna go with.
Oh, easy. You gave it to me. I'm going with Big AJ. Against Jermaine. What is it right now? It's in that ballpark. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, I'm seeing minus 1,000.
Yeah, whatever.
Let's chalk it up.
Easy.
Let's chalk it up.
Anthony Joshua, thank you very much. Afternoon card back at the O2.
Beautiful.
Not on pay-per-view on DAZN this one. It's on regular DAZN. So if you're a subscriber.
You know where I'm going to be then. You know where I'm going to be.
You know yourself. I'll be watching from SoFi Stadium. Yeah, hook me up. I'm in.
Cannot wait. Cannot wait for that one. I think this is a good matchup for him. That leads us to me. Won't take me long. I'm going to head to Bellator 293. Lucas Skywalker Brennan.
Money line? Or?
Yes, money line. Big favorite. Going up against Joshy San Diego. I mean, it's that easy. If you can't beat
the guy,
Joshy
San Diego.
What was that, Frank?
Was it not Joey San Diego? Was that not his name?
No, you keep saying that.
Yeah.
No, Josh Sandy.
Must have misread.
JSD, as they call him on the Bellator circuit.
Oh, for sure. By the way, there's like a gazillion fights on this Bellator card. Did you guys see the lineup?
They've been doing this lately. 17 fights.
17 fights is just...
Odd headliner,
Yes. It's the local thing. We've talked about
it. I know, but 17 is just...
Postlim's coming.
Yeah.
For sure.
Marcelo Gomez against Daniel James. Now, they're at Pechanga. Is James a local Pechanga? No, he's from Chicago. It is a bizarre one, but I guess they're high on them. Katsingano against Liam McCourt. Our friend Aaron Jeffrey on the card.
Shout out.
Yeah, against John Salter. I'm a fan.
He's a fairly big favorite.
Rustam Khabilov returning.
I know, that's
How
crazy.
About that?
Yeah, Rustam.
Freaking blast from the past against Jaleel Willis. Luke Trainer, the gent. Love
the
him.
Gent against Sullivan Cauley.
Yeah.
That's a matchup of the Giants, dude.
Adam Piccolotti against Rat Garbage. Who doesn't love a good Rat Garbage fight? Mandel Nalo. One of the all-time best nicknames. Joey Davis, 8-0. On
Black Ice.
Lucas Brennan. Lance Gibson Jr., 7-0. Pam Sorensen on the early prelims as well. I mean, there's a lot of freaky... I mean, I'm still scrolling. There's more fights here.
I feel like the headliner has a little bit to be desired, if I'm being honest, but the rest of it
one.
Is
It's almost
is
like a Bellator
strong.
Challengers card. Yeah, it's weird that held that line. Well, why?
I don't know.
Anyway, that's Friday. All right. So you're going Lucas Brennan against Josh San Diego. And that's his real name, Josh San Diego.
That is. Born name?
That's incredible.
Josh San Diego, you serious?
No, I mean, that's his name on Tapology.
Yeah, right.
The zookeeper. Yeah.
Son of Carmen.
Oh, that's even better. The San Diego Zoo, great zoo.
Yeah, that is weird. What a strange, I mean, good There's for him. Where's he? He lives in Milpitas. Is that close to San Diego?
I would really hope so. He is from California, so we can't
maybe he's
that.
The big draw. All right, who's next?
Frankie.
I'm going to go over to... good old PFL.
Oh, yeah.
And then I pick old Brendan, and I always get this confused. Is it Lochnane?
Lochnane, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Lochnane. I'm going to take him.
Yeah, I was actually thinking of that one against Marlon Moraes. Tough spot for Marlon to come back against Brendan off
it
the
is.
Bat here. But, you know, they're starting
Marlon
off the
needs
bag.
A dub. I don't love him going in there against Brendan in his first fight.
Yeah, me neither. But, yeah, Brendan's a pretty big favorite on this one. I like that one, Frankie. I like it a lot.
I appreciate it.
We're rolling. All right, last but not least.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it on the PFL card. I'm going with Movlid Habulayev.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's a lot of big favorites, boys. I love it. I love it.
That dude's nasty. He was unfortunately out of the last season, but I'm fairly sure
against Ryoji Kudo, one of the all-time great finishes in PFL history against Damon Jackson, who's now in the UFC. That flying knee.
Yep. Oh, you're talking about Movley. Yeah.
Oh wait, who do you think I was talking about?
Well, I believe Kudo had a nice finish.
The flying knee against Damon.
Yeah, you're talking about the flying knee.
Chin.
Yeah.
Wow. That was Movely's a lot of, we were kind of stressing about this one. We thought, oh, there's not enough.
Not enough. You know, when are the lines coming
Never
out?
Never stressing.
Yeah.
Parlay pals are
four
back,
big
baby.
Favorites, four easy dubs.
Let's go. Listen.
Start the win streak.
Let's just get the wins. We don't need something special. We don't need to get, over under. By the way, best thing about this, none of this over under nonsense. Over 1.5, 2.
Ariel loves a money line.
I hate that shit.
Honestly, I can agree with you after the.
It's too stressful, man. It's
the Vergara da Silva.
Yeah.
One not hitting this bad weekend.
Oh, it's too much. All right. What else you got?
I mean, we were just talking about him. I do have a couple single plays, and then I need to pick the brain, Yuen and Rick both.
Oh, yeah.
Just the one single I have on Bellator, Rustam. You just brought him up, Khabibov, underdog, +145. Listen, he hasn't fought in a few years, but if he's anything like he was before, I mean, he went 10-3 in the UFC, just grinding. That Dagestani wrestling style has trained with the best of them, has fought some of the best of them from the UFC. If he's anything like he used to be, I mean, there's just no way to tell, but at dog odds, I'll ride it. I mean, Jaleel Willis, yes, he did have some success against Kyle Crutchmer, picked up the win, who uses that wrestling style, but I think this is just a whole nother level. So I'm going to bank on him looking good in his return and you know, cashing as a dog here. And then the other play, this is the Helwani hammer here. Gunther.
Oh, yes.
Intercontinental champ. Even money, baby.
You told me that, by the way. I was shocked that he's a plus 100.
Your face.
I mean, was shocked.
Like, I threw a couple out to you, and I just...
This is like my lock of the year.
Wow.
Yeah.
But so this
I'm about
is
to
a
double down.
This is a triple threat match.
This
That's
is a triple threat.
Yeah.
With all due respect, Sheamus is at the end of the road.
Drew, though.
I don't think Drew's beating. Gunther is like the future, man. This guy. Yeah. They should have done Gunther. I think they missed big time. It should have been Gunther versus Brock at WrestleMania, if you ask
me. We're thinking Gunther can break the longest reign as Intercontinental Champ.
Which is what? Is that Macho
like,
Man? Or
I think it's like 430-something days.
I think he could be that guy. This guy ain't losing for a long time. Like, he is like the next beast.
I'm about to double down.
By the way,
they did
seem to set up
Brock and
Gunther
him at Royal Rumble. You know what his real name is?
Is
Gunther.
Walter.
Legend. They changed it.
Yeah.
On the indies, he was Walter. NXT, Walter. Changed it.
All right, so a couple of, like, you know, worth picking your brain.
Yeah.
All right,
love
so here,
that pick, by the way.
Thank you. It's all thanks to you. One that I think is fun, and it goes the whole weekend. Over, under, new champions, 4.5.
Oh.
Okay. Helwani, give me what the title
fights
are, because I don't know which ones.
I have them right here.
Oh,
I have them right
Thank
here.
You.
They're on the screen. Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, Undisputed Universal Champ.
Okay, so wait. So I think
Cody's
Cody wins,
win.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's one new champion.
Yeah.
Charlotte Flair, Rhea Ripley, SmackDown Women's Champ.
That's a dicey one. If it was up to me, I would give it to Rhea Ripley.
Who's the champ?
Charlotte.
Charlotte is the champ. Okay.
Rhea's the up-and-coming star. She's been amazing. I would give it to her, but I could see them keeping it on Charlotte a little longer, so that one's dicey.
Okay, so let's just lean and say that's a new champ.
I actually feel better about not a new champ.
Okay. All right. Bianca Belair, Asuka.
No, Asuka.
Can't you see?
No, it's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Asuka.
I say no. I say Bianca keeps it.
Wow.
Yeah.
John Cena, Austin Theory.
I say no. Cena's not sticking around.
Wow.
I say Theory. This is the match to get the Theory over.
Holy
this is the big
cow.
Here.
And then Gunther, Drew McIntyre, Sheamus.
Gunther
so stays.
You're going with the
and
other.
And then Uso, Sami Zayn. So that gets us to two.
Uso, Sami Zayn. That gets us to two. Yeah. And what is the line?
4.5.
I go under.
And I was leaning under.
I go under.
Oh.
All right. That's going to be
big
my
time.
Second.
That might be my only.
That and Gunther might be my only two.
WrestleMania plays. Because that extends you for both nights.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I like that.
What is the line in the main event?
Main event. Let's see. Cody Rhodes.
Do they have
big
a prop
favorite.
On The Rock coming?
Not that I know of. Cody Rhodes -550.
Oh, yeah. Wow. And what about the tag match, the tag titles?
The
Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. It's a
-4,000.
Jeez. Let me ask you about another one here.
Yeah.
Brock and Omos. I think Brock wins that. What is that?
Minus 1,000 Brock.
Mm. Seth Rollins, Logan Paul.
Minus 500 Seth.
Interesting. I want to be surprised.
The close ones yeah. that it feels like people don't really know. Finn Balor, minus 140. Edge, plus 100.
I think Finn wins.
Dominic versus Rey Mysterio. Ooh. Dominic, minus 150.
Yeah, I think he wins and then he retires.
Bianca Belair versus...
that's a close one?
Asuka. Yeah, minus 130 Asuka. She's the favorite.
What? Wow. Maybe they're getting behind her. I don't see it. I think that... Wow.
Maybe I lock in Bianca then.
But maybe she's had the belt for a long time. Really?
All right. So let's say that over-under. Even if you gave it to Rhea and Asuka, that still only puts us at 4.
Yeah. You still want to go under probably.
Yeah, no. You go under. I feel very good about that one.
Okay.
Very, very good.
The under and Gunther, I think those are
the ones.
Yeah, and then lastly, before we get out of here, I haven't put this in yet just because not all the odds are available, but it's shaping out to be pretty much our parlay pals, so I think I'm just going to ride the parlay pals.
That's amazing.
Holy crap.
It was Lucas Brennan, Movliad,
you're
Andy
kidding.
Joshua, and then it was Kali Trainer fight doesn't go the distance, but I can have some faith in old Frankie.
Wow.
Thanks.
And you picked this before the show?
Before the show, yeah.
Wow, that is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty funny, actually.
That is wild.
Okay. Just got to put Brendan Lochnane in there and we're good to go.
GC, are you going to, not GC, Rick, are you going to watch Mania?
Yeah,
you always
I'm
check out
watch.
Mania.
I always check out Mania and Rumble and like the bigger ones. The
what about
ones,
NXT
yeah.
Stand and Deliver on Saturday morning?
Yeah,
who's
of course,
on? Like, tell
course.
Me about it. I don't know.
Cereal and Stand and Deliver. Everyone knows.
Yeah.
Who's
wait?
Saturday
cereal? Morning.
Are you being serious or not? Like, is it a big thing or not?
It's their big show. It's at Staples or a Crypto.
But who's in it?
You remember like, when you went on? To NXT at Barclays?
Yeah, it was amazing.
It's not what it is.
It's
anymore,
not what it used to be.
No. They've got this guy.
What
named,
about? Oh, what's up? What, Lola Vice. Is she on it?
No.
Oh, then right,
they've got this guy named Bron Breakker, who's tremendous.
I've heard his name.
Rick Steiner's son.
Really?
Yes. Which
okay, that's pretty
how
cool.
stupid is it? That
why not, is he not Steiner?
I know. I don't understand. It's like calling Charlotte Flair Charlotte Smith.
Even Braun Steiner.
Yeah, no, like, it makes whatever. No sense.
When is Lola Vice going to wrestle?
I think she wrestles on like the low. There's actually like a lower
than
version
NXT?
Of NXT, which is called NXT Up Next or something like that.
Oh, Bron Breakker versus Carmelo Hayes.
Carmelo Hayes is a big time star.
Carmelo minus 200.
Wow, they've got off for that too. That also, what about the Johnny Gargano fight or match?
Yeah,
oh, I know these names.
Johnny Gargano minus 220.
Minus 220. Shit, man. There's so much. John there's Gargano. So much happening this weekend. And as far as wrestling, it's the dream
by the,
weekend.
By the way,
any free agent wrestler to make a WWE
any?
Debut? Yeah.
The Field. Yeah.
No, it's no minus 140, yes plus 100.
But it could be
I'll
anyone.
Take it.
Any free agent wrestler to make a WWE debut.
And does that have to be on like anything? Like could
WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
Must appear in person on TV.
There isn't. Like last year was Cody, everyone knew. There isn't a hot rumor this year.
I think I like the
wait,
two
so
that
did
I
Cody
had.
Debut
yeah.
into a match?
Yeah, against
he did.
Seth. He was like the surprise opponent.
But they did like Seth versus TBD, right?
Yeah, but everyone knew.
So, but I'm saying, do they have one
no.
of those this?
Well, okay,
yeah,
actually,
so then...
no. There's the tag match, and it's TBA, so I guess it could be someone. So maybe. You know, I mean, they like to, yeah. I don't know.
I was just going to say also
it's not
going to
be like
own,
Punk or anything like that.
Jose Youngs is also going to be there. So
he's going to Mania.
He'll be on the scene,
ooh.
Yeah.
Covering or?
Covering.
For
he'll
who?
Be a media day.
For SB
Thursday
Nation?
And Friday. Yeah.
Sheesh.
Got a link.
Shout out to Jose.
I didn't know they still do that. Mania's fun. I like it. It just feels big, you know? L.A., SoFi, 39.
American Nightmare, the takeover.
Yeah, it feels big. I'm excited. Best WrestleMania match. Best WrestleMania 18? 18 was
is
great.
Is that The Rock?
That was there, yeah. Rock Hogan.
Rock and
17
Hogan?
Was
oh.
incredible.
What? You were there? What was, where was that?
18?
Yeah.
Toronto.
Oh.
I was like fourth to last row of the Sky Dome at the time. I went to the freaking,
I remember that
I
one.
Went to the freaking fan access thing before, waited in line to take a picture with JR and Jerry Lawler. Waited in line that was like an hour and a half long. Waited in line to take a picture with Edge and Christian, did the pose. You remember the 5-second pose? Anyone?
No.
Wait,
now were you a fan of JR from like a character perspective or also from like
the
a serious broadcasting?
Yeah, I love the broadcasters.
But like I'm saying though, when it comes to JR, right?
Yeah.
he's working in a sport that's predetermined outcomes. Sure. That's kayfabe. But there's also like skill and like broadcasting to that. Like, are you coming at it from that angle?
Both. Or I thought like he was both. Tremendous. I loved like Gorilla Monsoon. I loved JR. Mm-hmm. So it was like also Jerry Lawler. Like I loved the Andy, you know, Man on the Moon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, all that stuff.
So it works on multiple levels.
Yeah,
is what you're
multiple
saying.
Levels.
That's
love
cool.
That stuff. Love that stuff. Yeah. No, I'm excited. Should be great. And just to let everyone know, because like we like to keep it real around these parts. Next Monday, there will be a show, but because of WrestleMania happening on Sunday, and there would be no chance that I would come back in time, even if I took a – I don't even think I would make it to the red eye. Maybe I could have made it, but like I would have been exhausted as all hell. Going to do the show live. It will be live at 1 p.m. Everyone will be here, but I'll still be in L.A. So a rare
– must be nice.
Yeah. Actually, this has only happened once before. Now, I've talked about the On Location, but we did do it where I did the live show from San Diego in between the Versus show and UFC 117. And Josh and company from the AOL days, which predates New York Rick, they were all back at the HQ. But everyone I think will be here, I will just be in LA. So hopefully the internet is good over there. Get a nice camera, a nice connection, you know, be all good.
And be on time. That's
it's actually
important.
Going to be a weird few weeks because then Wednesday, it's Passover, and so we won't have a show that following Wednesday. And then the following Monday, which is after Izzy and Pereira, I'm still going to be in Montreal for Passover with my family, so I'll also be on location, and there won't be a Wednesday show because usually I'm off for Passover. If you recall last year, I got COVID during Passover. It wasn't very fun. And then we'll be back. So you actually won't see me in this chair for quite a bit. How do you guys feel about that?
Next time we're going to see you there is April, the Monday after 17. Arnold Allen.
Yeah. Wow, crazy, right?
Wow.
Yeah, that's going to be weird.
I feel like you guys are very quiet. Like you're almost disappointed in me. Like I've let you down.
A little bit, yeah.
I feel read like the we're room, just laying Mary. Out, letting you
yeah.
I mean, talk
to do a couple
through,
extra
but,
shows.
I'm
going to
sit in your
show,
chair.
Frank,
nice, nice term there, laying out. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Letting you go,
by the way,
so. Well,
feel free.
Prime is ours, too.
Yeah, well, you've already made that known. Feel free to sit in the chair. You know, like we'll go live and Frank's here. No,
yeah, maybe we can.
Maybe just
hit the
dark.
That's how Frank gets makes his debut.
Yes,
is he
yes,
sits in the
yes,
chair?
Yes, yes, yes.
No, just make the whole studio dark, and we'll just hear your voice.
Yeah.
Oh man, a romantic story you could have told. I've only heard the rumors and obviously seen the highlight of it. Is Rick having to host the show?
Oh, that's a great.
Because you're having a kid. Oh.
Now is that romantic?
Yeah,
no, it's sentimental. It's yeah, nice.
You had to be there for your wife.
It was wild. Me calling in. Remember, I yeah. called in as a guest.
Yeah,
I was what on. Great show. I was on the hilarious. Way to get stuff at CBS.
It was also Halloween, and I was dressed as you.
Was it
which
Halloween?
Yes. Happened to coincide, which was incredible.
Yes, you were dressed. You wore the Expos hat, right?
I wore the Expos hat and the plaid shirt.
And who do we have? Skylar
and I
Astin.
Have, did I have Skylar on?
No, Devin Sawa.
I had Devin.
Yeah,
of course, I had Devin. I think I had Mark, right? Did I have Mark?
I don't remember. Brandon Gibson?
I think I had, maybe.
How do you not remember this? The one time.
It was a long time ago, man. It was a long time ago. The memory's gone.
That was 2000.
Oh, John Pollock. I had John Pollock.
Yes.
Of course, because.
Joe Poe, yeah. 2016.
Yeah, it's hard for me to remember.
Wow.
But it was great.
I can't remember how I came across it.
Yeah. You're watching this and it's like, is this some sort of like bizarro world?
No,
I mean, I'm the only
bizarro
one.
World, though.
Yeah. Well, there was the one Luke era, one year. Yeah.
I mean,
when I came across yeah. that was like.
Oh, that is straight up bizarro like Seinfeld, biggest, right?
Yes.
Because there's
it's
Danny
bizarro
as Eric.
Seinfeld. Yes. It's so like, it's like, and no one told me about it. And I just came across it on YouTube. And like, I was like, what is going on right now?
I meant in the Helwani era, but that's fair. Yes. But then I was also replaced in that era.
Yes,
by,
yes,
by
yes, 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 yes. Good times. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I got to go to LA, guys. God bless.
Wow. Safe flight, man.
I'm out.
See,
thank
yeah,
you very
fun.
Much. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate you very much. And thank you to everyone who sent in questions. Good luck to us. And again, we'll be back on Monday, same time and place, live. I just won't be in this chair because I'll still be in LA. I thought about delaying the show, but I was like, you need us 1 o'clock. You know, same with the following week. So these are the things that we do. These are the sacrifices that we make for all of you. And, you know, we hope that you appreciate it very much. Shout out to our sponsors today, HelloFresh, PFL, and DraftKings. We love DraftKings. shout out, of course, to everyone who sent in questions. Shout out to moderator Lewis, and shout out to the granddaddy of them all. Like I said, massive weekend coming up. Huge, huge weekend coming up. There's no UFC rare, but Bellator, PFL, big time heavyweight boxing, Game Bred Boxing featuring a plethora of former UFC, dare I say, legends, veterans, former champions. Fight Circus, totally forgot about that one. Doubt there's any lines for that, but enjoy. And then, of course, Mania Saturday and Sunday as well. And then come back next week, and we're on the road to Miami. Jorge Masvidal versus Gilbert Burns, and the biggie, Alex Pereira versus Israel Adesanya. If you missed the interviews, go back to Monday's show. We had five of them. No problem. We appreciate y'all very much. Back on Monday, same time and place. Until then, I say peace.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.